Gang is reported to be behind a cyber attack on Citibank using a cheap piece of software called Black Energy. That's the same software used during Russia's war with Georgia to shut down Georgian government websites. Citibank denies it was hacked, but the Wall Street Journal says depositors saw their savings sent to Latvia and Ukraine. Though reimbursed, Robert Blanchard lost over $1 million.
There is no 911 for internet crime. So I don't see it as a failing with Citigroup. I see it as a failing with our public ability to help all the banks.
A U.S. government agency was also reportedly hacked. The FBI is said to be investigating.
The Obama administration has chosen a man with extensive cybersecurity experience to help strengthen U.S. computer networks. It's expected President Obama today will name Howard Schmidt, the former executive with Microsoft and eBay, as his cyber czar. CBS News and CNET tech analyst Larry Magid says cybersecurity is critical.
Not only is there an enormous amount of financial crime in terms of malicious software and hack attacks, but also cyber attacks against government installations and even potential threats from foreign governments.
Well, the Senate's moved a step closer to a final vote on a health care reform measure. Let's go live to Capitol Hill and CBS News correspondent Bob Voss.
They are like baby steps, Nick, with a lot of stumbling around in between. Democrats have already shown they have the votes to pass this bill by Christmas, but Republicans like Kay Bailey Hutchison continue to use procedural delays to slow it down.
We hope that there is still a chance that this bill will not become law.
Democrat Dick Durbin says it will and should to cover the uninsured and help those with insurance, too.
We know that the rates for health insurance premiums will start to come down, as they must, so that businesses and individuals can afford it.
It wasn't easy for Democrats to line up the 60 votes, and there are complaints from Republican John McCain and others about the usual and unusual deals used to get Democrats in line. CBS News correspondent Wyatt Andrews has more on that.
At least seven senators demanded deals worth tens or hundreds of millions of dollars to mostly benefit their home states, starting with Mary Landrieu. When reports surfaced she had been swayed with a $100 million Medicaid deal just for Louisiana, she bragged it was actually $300 million. The deal was so notorious, Republicans gave it a name.
We've got new words in our lexicon now. The Louisiana Purchase.
But Senator Ben Nelson of Nebraska got the most unusual Medicaid deal. In exchange for his vote, federal taxpayers will now pay for most Medicaid expansion just in Nebraska and forever. McCain named this one, too.
The Cornhusker kickback.
And while Democrats have claimed their bill saves big money, cutting the extra benefits from Medicare Advantage, the fact is that won't happen in Florida, where Senator Bill Nelson got his 800,000 seniors an exemption. Democrats shrugged off questions about the one-state deals, saying this is how you get to 60 votes.
It's been a violent stretch for law enforcement in Washington State. In the latest episode, two Pierce County Sheriff's deputies were wounded last night in a shootout with a man who was killed at a home in a Tacoma suburb.
One's extremely critical and the other one's critical. They're life-threatening wounds.
That sheriff's spokesman, Ed Troyer. The incident took place less than a month after four suburban...
You're listening to AM 760, Colorado's progressive talk. AM760.net.
Winter driving, it's just not normal. When there's ice and snow, take it slow. Along with slippery streets and highways, huge snow plows are often out there trying to keep the roads clear. Snow plows are large and powerful, maneuver slowly, and plow far and wide. Very wide. Slow down when approaching a snow plow. They're likely traveling slower than the posted speed limit. Also, don't tailgate or stop too close behind because they frequently back up, especially at intersections. A snowplow driver's view is restricted, so never assume that the driver sees you. Plows can also throw up a cloud of snow that can cause whiteout conditions and reduce visibility to zero, so use extreme caution when passing. In fact, the road behind a plow will be safer for you to drive on. If you do pass, watch out for plow blades. They're not only on the front of the plow, but a wing plow may project from the side of the truck. Best advice, ice and snow. Take it slow, especially around snowplows.
This message has been brought to you by the Colorado Department of Transportation.
To get in your way, CDOT's picked up their overnight construction project. They had been working on 36 right around Wadsworth. It's gone, so are the slowdowns as you were traveling between Denver and Boulder. Quick check on today's forecast. We could see some snow later on today, but for the time being, it's kind of a mild start to this morning's drive with a current temperature of 34. The high should top out at 44. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Give USAA a chance to beat your auto insurance rates. They'll give you a chance to win an all-new Chevy Camaro plus $10,000. No purchase necessary. For entry and official rules, visit USAA.com/holiday sweeps.
Here, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk on your iPhone or BlackBerry. Details on AM760.net.
What up with that?
I know that sludge for brains like Bill Press,
you're a Nazi and a Stalinist.
We have never been just a collection of individuals or a collection of red states and blue states. We are and always will be the United States of America.
This is the Bill Press Show.
When you're responsible for reading the news to a city of millions, you need a gentle touch.
As for your greasy mouth self, that might help if you stopped eating all them fries you eat, making you look 6 months pregnant.
One of the top most listened to radio shows.
That voice of yours could be an attraction at a circus.
Are you joking? Is this a joke?
No final vote on health care yet? The Republicans are dragging it out until 7 p.m. Christmas Eve. Merry Christmas indeed. And a great big welcome to the Tuesday edition of the Bill Press Show. This is it, and we're coming to you live coast to coast from our little radio studio here on Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C., our nation's capital. You'll find us in the shadow of the Capitol Dome, just up the street from the United States Capitol Building, where the Senate is officially still in session with a whole bunch of procedural votes necessary and reading of the bill and all that kind of stuff, whatever delays the Republicans can think up to, leading up to the final vote on Senate health care reform on schedule now for 7 p.m. Christmas Eve. We've got our eye on that and our eye on the happenings down at the other end of the White House. White House Press Secretary Robert Gibbs calling a press briefing this morning for 10:15 a.m. That's the earliest briefing since I've been going to the White House, at any rate. In the history of the world, probably. I'll be down there, and we'll tell you all about it. I can't wait to ask him whether the president agrees with this policy announced in Iraq, that if you are in the military in Iraq, and you serving in the military there, and you get pregnant, you will be court-martialed. And if you are the impregnator, you will be court-martialed. Pretty severe policy, pretty outrageous policy, if you ask me. We'll find out. I'm going to try to find out what the president thinks about that today. Good to see you today. 866-55-PRESS is our toll-free number. We've got a lot going on. You'll want to comment on 866-55-77-377. Team Press in place here. Peter Ogburn and Dan Henning.
Hello there.
Hi there.
Here we go on a Tuesday. And I know, Dan, you're a big Giants fan. And
big win last night.
Yeah, big win.
45-12.
Don't get too excited there.
Playoffs still in sight.
It would have been a big win if you weren't playing the Redskins.
Hey, you know
here's
what?
Here's the final Redskins touchdown. Here's
back to pass, man. First Giants touchdown. Redskins 25. To the end zone, man, is wide open for a touchdown. That is Manningham. In the right corner for 625 yards with the score.
Here's the thing. The Redskins have proven to be a formidable opponent.
Shut your mouth.
They almost
beat the Cowboys.
They almost beat New Orleans.
This is the almost season.
They had
the
like 2 weeks where they didn't look like total garbage.
Yeah, but listen.
That doesn't mean that they're a good team.
Listen, at least they didn't lose last Sunday.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Right?
Right.
Because they didn't play until Monday night. All right, we got
it. It sounds like the Giants, I mean, a 45-12 sounds like just a complete rout. And the final score doesn't do it justice. It was a much bigger rout than 45-12.
Should have been 95-12.
It really should have been bigger than that.
Anyhow, well, Dan, at least you can walk away with a Giants win.
And I'm wearing my Giants hat today, and I'm very happy.
So the Giants.
I wish you'd put on something else.
The Giants still. The Giants. I thought it was come to work naked.
No,
I'm sorry. Right. The Giants still have a chance at the playoffs.
That's Friday.
So we're fighting.
10 minutes after the hour now, we're going to be talking. We kick off this hour with Tucker Carlson. Find out what he's up to from the my old Crossfire debate mate. And Joe Hunt, who is the president of the Ironworkers Union, is going to be joining us just a little bit later to find out what the unions think about the health care reform legislation. But first,
this
is the Full Court Press.
Other headlines making news. Talk about the water cooler today. The White House had its staff Christmas party last night. The entertainment was scheduled to be Jon Bon Jovi. Washington Post reports the rocker was scheduled to perform a solo acoustic set. He's become known as a Democratic Party rock star, literally, having performed on campaign trails for countless candidates, including most recently performing at the president's inauguration.
So did he show up?
I believe so, but this was the staff Christmas party, so the press was not there, but that was scheduled entertainment.
Pretty good.
British singer Amy Winehouse allegedly attacking a theater staffer at a holiday pantomime show of Cinderella in England over the weekend. London Sun said that cast include actor Mickey Rourke. Amy, who was invited by a cast member, reportedly was enjoying herself so much she began shouting obscenities at the cast. Then ushers tried to move her into a private box. She reportedly kicked and punched the house manager at the theater. No explanation.
Amy Winehouse and Mickey Rourke have a lot in common.
Yeah, she is out of control.
I'm starting to think she's trouble.
Oh, yeah?
Just getting the clue?
Yeah.
And another day, another failing newspaper, or as the Washington Times likes to call it, restructuring. Beginning January 4th, D.C.'s conservative rag will operate with at least 40% less staff, no Sunday edition, and pretty much only focus on politics. Gone are local news and sports.
Yeah, gone is that newspaper.
Yeah, really, man.
Jenna, they can't make it. Like that.
12 minutes after the hour now. Yes, indeed. He and I used to battle on Crossfire. Then we used to just laugh our butts off on Spin Room. What the hell has Tucker Carlson been up to lately? Well, let's find out. Hey, Tucker. Good morning. Merry Christmas.
Good morning, Bill. It's nice to hear a liberal use the phrase Merry Christmas.
I'm not afraid to use Merry Christmas.
Amen.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm sitting here in my office. Where I have been since 6:45 this morning at 17th and I, a block from the White House, trying to launch this site.
Well, that's what I want to ask you. I want to start asking you about. Every time I see somebody, run into somebody, they say, where's Tucker? What's Tucker up to? And I said, all I know is he's launching a new website. It's the Daily Caller, right?
The Daily Caller.
All right.
Which I hope you will write, Bill.
Yes, absolutely. Although, do you want a liberal on your website?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want, you know, a ton of them. But I want the smart, charming ones like you.
All right, there's my paycheck. I can see you call me smart and charming on the air. Therefore, I'll do anything for you. Hey, so when does it launch and how do people find it? And, you know, tell us about it. So,
it launches on January 11th.
Okay.
It's at dailycaller.com. It's also at thedc.com.
Uh-huh.
And it is a site, a broad news site. We've hired a ton of reporters. We've got, I think, 20 people, 19 people reporting on staff.
Whoa.
And we're going to be covering, bigger than any newspaper bureau except the New York Times. And we haven't launched, but, I mean, we plan to be covering the White House and the Congress and covering government.
And what will you do different, let's say, than, you know, there are a lot of websites out there, right? I mean, you got HuffPost, you got Daily Beast, you got Drudge, which has been around forever, getting kind of tired, I think. Andy Breitbart is expanding. What's Daily Caller?
I mean, a couple things, but most notably, we're going to be sending people out to gather news, which is not, you know, which is expensive, basically. And so people don't want to do it. It's much easier. And it's fine, by the way, to, you know, aggregate other people's content, to write opinion pieces. We'll be doing both those things.
A lot of other sites just link to other people's stories. What you're saying, you're going to be generating your own news stories.
Yeah,
right?
I would say there are very, very few sites that are primarily reporting, and ours will be one of them. I mean, there just aren't many at all.
Do you think we just read that story about the Washington Times? I mean, is this the future of journalism as opposed to print on its way out and online, you know, just coming into its own?
Well, I think that's right. I mean, I love newspapers. I used to work at one. I know you love newspapers too.
Yeah.
But increasingly, I mean, I read the New York Times every morning on my iPhone in bed. And I am hardly an early adapter, but if I am doing that, then that tells you the future is, you know, already here. There's no question. And look, it's so much more efficient, obviously, as a means of delivering the product online. It's much less costly. I think that big old institutions, daily newspapers, for example, have a very tough time adapting to new technology. And I think, you know, a lot of them are tied up with these guild contracts that make their business models unsustainable.
Right.
Yeah, it's all betting online. I mean, look, there are good and bad things about that. It's not totally good, but it's also inevitable. We can't stop it.
So one of the things with the newspapers, Tucker, I'm not, by no means an expert in this, but with fewer readers, there are fewer advertisers. Therefore, the newspapers are really in trouble, not so much because of the lack of readers as of advertisers, right?
Right. Exactly,
from a business point of view, are you able to attract enough advertising to a site like this? I guess you'll find out. But you certainly have a business plan that shows that you can. Advertisers are advertising online.
We do have a plan. We attracted a number of pretty smart investors, you know, with business degrees who bought our pitch, and it was predicated on the idea that we would get rich doing this. Our view is, look, you know, as long as people are selling something, they need to advertise it.
Yeah.
Online advertising is in deep trouble right now, but we are betting a lot that it's coming back, and there are a number of ways to do this. We hired the head of online ad sales from National Journal, a guy called Alex Treadway, who's really smart.
Good move.
It was worth it, I think.
Let me tell you something. Your goal is the same as mine on this radio show. Two goals. One is to have a lot of fun, and the two is to make a lot of money. I mean,
I don't know. How did you get so liberal, Bill? It's like, if you're the only liberal I know
what's wrong with that? That's just...
Well, but I love it. I absolutely love it. I just... so many other liberals I know are, like, humorless and, you know, non-profit-oriented.
Well, don't count me as one.
I know. It's wonderful.
All right, so let's see. Let's go back to our crossfire. Tucker, we're almost at the end of year one of Barack Obama. He gave himself an A... B plus, wasn't it, Peter?
B plus
is what he gave himself. Arnold Schwarzenegger said he deserves an A. What would your letter grade be? First year of Obama.
I'll tell you what. If I were a politician and somebody asked me what letter grade would you give yourself, I would give the obvious answer, which is the American people give my grades, and I'm going to let them make that judgment. What an idiot for answering the question. I would give him an A for energy. I would give him an F on the merits. I honestly think the health care bill will change the country for the F. This bill is an atrocity. I think it will forever change the country, forever make people more dependent upon government, and hasten the destruction of our economy.
But it doesn't.
I don't think we can afford it.
Tucker, it doesn't have, maybe you haven't been paying attention lately, it doesn't have a public plan option. First of all, we're not sure what the final bill is going to look like,
right,
obviously. But let's talk about the Senate bill. It doesn't have a public plan option. It doesn't have the expansion of Medicare. It hands 30 million new customers to the insurance company. This is a bonanza for the insurance companies. How can you say it's more big government?
Which is itself, I think, a bad thing. I mean, it's not government to help the insurance companies. But I would also say, look, the public option, it's a distinction without a difference. If the federal government is regulating private industry to an extent, you know, that it can't make choices about anything, then it's basically, it's a federal agency. I mean, what's the difference between an insurance company and a federal insurance company? I mean, there isn't much of a difference after this bill.
Well, so you think that the status quo, insurance companies deny people coverage because of a pre-existing condition, or one of your kids gets sick and they suddenly say, uh-oh, we're just not going to cover you any longer. You should think they should be able to do that?
Well, you'll never hear me defending insurance companies. I think they're annoying as hell. But I also think, you know, you sign up for insurance. I mean, you make, as an adult, you know, you make a deal with an insurance company or any other provider of services, and, you know, you kind of agree to what you agree to on the way in. I think one of the reasons the system is so screwed up in the first place is it's regulated, you know, up the wazoo, and has been for many years. I would like to see a deregulation of the industry and some competition. I mean, look, LASIK eye surgery used to be really expensive. Only rich people got it. All of a sudden, you see a lot of LASIK competition in the LASIK market, and it's really cheap.
You know why?
Comparatively speaking.
You know why, don't you? Because Tiger Woods had it done. That's why.
You know what? Judging by some of the chicks he was with, I don't think they did a very good job. I mean, I am not impressed. I'm not impressed at all. If you're going to be like a serial philanderer, have better taste, no?
Yeah, also, How impressed are you with the public relations job that Tiger Woods has done on this whole
thing? Well, it shows you what I know about PR, which is basically nothing. I would have recommended the same thing. Don't comment on it. It's nobody's business.
Yeah, that really worked, didn't it?
No one has pointed out the obvious point, which is, why are these girls screwing him? I mean, like, what did he do to them? Why are they getting up and in public, you know, telling the details of these relationships? Was he mean to them? Did he hurt them?
It's called 15 minutes of fame. And in the cases of some, Tucker, I think it's $15 million, maybe. Maybe not
well,
that
I think
much.
That, first of all, that's extortion and or prostitution. And so, I mean, I don't think it's right. It is.
I know. I'm just saying, don't expect too much morality on the part of these players, if you will.
Oh, it's just upsetting. It's just totally upsetting. They're breaking all the rules. I mean, he takes time out of his busy schedule to sleep with them, and then they turn around and, you know what I mean?
Spoken like a real man.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, now I'm going to tell you, we could go on forever, but here's the story that really, really upsets me today. I don't know if you saw the story yet. So in Iraq, in northern Iraq, the general in charge up there has said, if there's any member of the military in my unit, 22,000, who gets pregnant, right, she will be court-martialed for getting pregnant.
Yeah.
Can you believe that? I mean, isn't that outrageous? Can't we agree, liberal and conservative, on that point? What the hell?
Well,
they're serving.
Well, I mean, I've got you know, a lot of children, as you do, and so, you know, I'm for children. I'm for pregnancy. I'm totally opposed to abortion. I'm on that level, yes, but the point of joining the military is to, you know, protect the country, and I don't think there should be women serving in Iraq in the first place. I think it's a ludicrous idea, a terrible idea. But now that there are, I mean, I guess their point is to be soldiers, not to, do you know what I mean? Like, what? No. I don't have a problem with that.
It reminds me, Tucker, of why you and I had such a good time, because we disagree on so much. You know, there you go.
Yes.
All right. Hey, Tucker, here's my answer. Put more gays in the military. They will not get pregnant. There you go.
That's a really good point, actually. Thank you, Bill.
Tucker Carlson, Daily Caller. We'll watch it starting. We'll be there as of January 11th.
Thanks, man. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Tucker. We'll see you later.
See you, Bill.
Tucker Carlson, wrong on everything.
This is the Bill Press Show.
You're listening to AM 760, Colorado's progressive talk. AM760.net.
Did you know that last year smoking-related diseases killed 1 in 10 adults globally and nearly 500,000 people in the United States alone? How many times have you tried to quit smoking only to start back up again? How would you like to try an electronic smoking device for free that looks and tastes just like the real thing? Hi, I'm Dr. Richard Sandor for Smoke Assist, the revolutionary electronic smoking device that really satisfies. No tobacco, no smell, no tar, no stained teeth, no smelly clothes, and no more guilt. Live a healthy lifestyle for you and your loved ones. Now you can get Smoke Assist, $130 value, for free. Improve your life today and be healthy. I'm so confident that Smoke Assist will work for you that I'm going to give it to you for free.
Get Smoke Assist right now for free. Call 800-734-4186. Get one for you or a friend, 800-734-4186. Limited free offer, so call now, 800-734-4186. That's 800-734-4186.
What if I said you could erase your wrinkles, tighten your skin, and make frown lines disappear from view, all without surgery or injections? With all the creams you've tried, you're probably skeptical. So I'm going to prove it to you by sending you a free trial of a scientific breakthrough called Hydroxytone. Shed years from your appearance faster than you ever thought possible.
I looked at her and I was just, wow, she looks so young.
I told her I couldn't believe how smooth her face looks. She's lost, what, 10 years at least?
Request your risk-free trial of this proven breakthrough today. The results are so impressive. Hydroxytone was given away in VIP gift bags at international film festivals.
She always looked good to me, but now I can't believe how young she looks.
Call now for your free trial of Hydroxytone. For a limited time, try it before you buy it. 1-800-300-0841. But hurry. When this offer's gone, it's gone. Call 1-800-300-0841. 1-800-300-0841.
Winter driving can be a real challenge. If there's ice and snow, take it slow. Even if you have an SUV with four-wheel drive, it doesn't mean you'll be able to stop any faster or maintain control any better once you lose traction.
Four-wheel drive may get you going faster, but it won't help you stop any sooner. No matter what type of vehicle you're driving, accelerate gradually and avoid abrupt steering maneuvers that could cause you to slide. Allow extra distance between you and the vehicle ahead. It takes more time and distance to stop in adverse conditions, so when you need to slow down or stop, if you have anti-lock brakes, depress the pedal and let the brakes do the work. Don't pump them yourself. If roads are slippery, turn off the cruise. Keep your own feel for the road. And before you leave, check road conditions. Safe drivers know the weather, and they know their limits. If the weather's bad, stay where you are until conditions improve.
This message has been brought to you by the Colorado Department of Transportation.
Driving in winter requires preparation because you never know when you may find yourself stranded. Before the first snows begin to fall, check your vehicle's tires, brakes, fluids, wiper blades, lights, belts, and hoses to make sure they're in good shape. A breakdown is bad on a good day, dangerous in a snowstorm. Before venturing out onto snowy roadways, make sure you've cleared the snow from all the vehicle's windows and lights, including brake lights and turn signals. Make sure you can see and be seen. And prepare an emergency kit, including things like a blanket, sand or cat litter for extra traction, additional warm caps and gloves, some food and water, and a cell phone. Before you go, check out road and weather conditions to help plan your route and departure time, giving yourself plenty of extra time to get where you're going. Above all, know your limits. If the weather's bad, stay home.
This message has been brought to you by the Colorado Department of Transportation.
Zero. You're listening to AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. AM760.net.
This is the Bill Press Show.
President Joe Hunt of the Iron Workers Union joining us in the next segment here of the Bill Press Show. On another topic, the Department of Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood yesterday making a good move, I think, announcing some new rules that are pretty tough on the airlines. The new rules say that if you are, you take off from the gate, you're sitting on the tarmac. If you're there more than 2 hours, the airlines have to serve you food, and that means they have to have food on the plane, which means they're going to have to think ahead, and the airlines have to serve you food and drink, and the toilets have to work on the plane. And not only that, if you're there more than 3 hours and they refuse to take you back to the gate, then the airlines have to pay a fine of $27,500 per passenger. Man, I got to tell you, those are tough rules. And Ray LaHood didn't ask Congress to pass any legislation. He just said, look, we got charge of the airlines. This is the way it is going to be. Airlines are bitching about it. They say they can't comply, but you know what? They will, rather than pay $27,500 each. Good move on the part of Ray LaHood. All right, let's come back and... are the labor unions happy with, are they willing to support the Senate health care legislation? Joe Hunt from the Iron Workers.
This is the Bill Press Show.
It's the GMC holiday event. Get the job done right this holiday season with the GMC Sierra. With an available 6.2-liter, 403-horsepower V8, it's the most powerful half-ton pickup in its class. And no other competitor offers better highway fuel economy with that much V8 horsepower. Make the GMC Sierra first on your list. It's 100 years of engineering excellence, all wrapped up in one excellent package. And right now, during the GMC holiday event, qualified buyers can get our best offer of the year. 0% APR financing for 72 months on all 2009 GMC Sierras. The GMC holiday event. Visit GMCdealer.com. Based on GM large pickup segment, EPA estimated 19 MPG highway. Monthly payment is $1,389 for every 1,000 financed. Example down payment 10.7%. Some customers will not qualify. Not available with some other offers. Take delivery by 1-4-10. See dealer for details.
AM 760, progressive traffic.
Spec lighter volumes all week long. Right now, just seeing the normal jams coming out of North Glen and Thornton, southbound side of 25 from 104th to 84th Avenue. No problems around downtown on 70, 270, or I-76. Also looking good on the south end on C-470 and on I-25 in the tech center. Your forecast, cloudy and cool with a high of 43 degrees. Evening snow after 7 o'clock with small accumulation in the overnight, but anywhere from 2 to 8 inches through Wednesday. Right now we're at 39 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Shop Kohl's last-minute gift sale going on now for all your last-minute gifts. Plus, you'll get $10 Kohl's cash for every $50 you spend. It's like getting paid to shop. The more you know, the more you Kohl's. Kohl's, expect great things.
Want to add value to your home, lower your energy bills, and help preserve the environment? Best Way Insulation is a Colorado-owned company that can make sure your home is warmer in the winter and cooler in the summer. Purchasing insulation from Best Way can also qualify you for a federal tax credit and rebates from your energy company. For more information, go to bestwayinsulation.com or call 303-469-0808. That's Best Way Insulation, 303-469-0808.
In national news, the New York Mint is releasing to the public a limited number of classic U.S. silver coins. At the end of this broadcast, we'll provide a toll-free number you can call to receive free information and a free DVD. Millions of classic U.S. silver coins were damaged in circulation, and millions more were melted down during World War I for their precious silver content, leaving relatively few in existence. But a hoard of shining, brilliant, uncirculated silver coins, saved from destruction, were amassed and stored away in vaults. Today, in a startling announcement, the New York Mint is releasing to the public a limited quantity of these shimmering U.S. silver coins with a historical legacy beyond their silver value. Available on a first-come, first-served basis by calling 1-800-400-1841. To receive the free collector's DVD, call now. The number again is 1-800-400-1841. That's 1-800-400-1841.
Elise, come on, it's game day. You've got all weekend to study.
Jen, this has nothing to do with studying. I've got to work. The way the economy is, I figure I'll be working for the next century just to pay off these student loans.
Well, you know...
I know. You joined the National Guard, so your college is completely paid for. Yes, you've mentioned it a couple thousand times.
The National Guard Scholarship covers up to 100% of your tuition. Learn more at NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Colorado National Guard. Aired by the Colorado Broadcasters Association and this station.
Here, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk on your iPhone or BlackBerry. Details on AM760.net.
Official morning show of the Obama generation. This is the Bill Press Show.
Hey, happy Tuesday, December 22nd. It is the Bill Press Show, 33 minutes after the hour now. We are coming to you live, coast to coast, all the way from Los Angeles, California, to Jacksonville, Florida, and all kinds of good points in between here. The Bill Press Show, brought to you by the International Association of Iron Workers. Yeah, the good men and women of the Iron Workers Union. They don't go to the office. They build the office. You can find out more about the good work of the Iron Workers at their website, www.ironworkers.org. Proud to be joined now by the president of the Iron Workers, President Joe Hunt. Hey, Joe, good morning. Thanks for being there.
Good morning, Bill. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Happy good. Holidays to you.
I was one of the lucky ones. I got out of Washington. I'm back in St. Louis today.
Good for you. Hey, you know, before we get into the issues of the day, because this is your first visit to the Bill Press Show, and we thank you for that. Every time I'm on my way to California later in the week, every time I drive across that Golden Gate Bridge, I think of the iron workers that built that Golden Gate Bridge. What are the big projects, that the construction jobs the iron workers are working on today?
Well, right now, unfortunately, there's not many big projects. As we know, the construction industry is very slow.
Yeah.
But we have some nice projects on the books, a new nuclear powerhouse over in Maryland. We've got a terrific signature bridge that's going to be built right here in St. Louis, and that contract's been let to a local contractor with Alberici, with a local group of contractors. So,
how about that Bay Bridge out in
Bay Bridge. That's a beautiful project. I know you're from the West Coast, but that project is a great project for us, and we've got many iron workers employed on. Of course, you know it's been going on for quite a while.
Right. So when people see these new buildings going up, these new skyscrapers up, and all that steel skeleton of the building right before they finish it up, that's the work of the iron workers, right?
That's the work of the iron workers, correct.
Yeah. Good. you get them up. Without that, there wouldn't be any of these buildings.
Yeah.
All right. Now, so, Johan, right now we've got a Senate bill. Looks like it's going to pass. It won't pass until 7 o'clock Christmas Eve. It does not have a public plan option in it. It does not have expansion of Medicare. But it does still have a tax in it on those so-called Cadillac insurance companies, a lot of which are held by union workers. So what do you think? Do you think that the labor unions ought to support this bill or not?
Well, what it does have in it, and from my perspective, it's going to cover 94% of the U.S. citizens. There will be no pre-existing conditions in this, from what I understand, in this bill.
Yep.
And there's no limitation to the expenses on a specific illness. I know it's disappointing that some of the major things that we were interested in having in this bill, the public option and the tax on the Cadillac plans, and of course we know it. Once the Senate passes this bill, it's going to go to conference. The House bill does not have the tax for the health plans, and so we'll see where that goes. I'm not exactly sure how that's going to work. If that 40% excise tax cuts in over the, I think it's $21,000 or $28,000 per plan, or how that works, or even if it'll still be in there when it comes. But, you know, I believe that this bill that the Senate's going to pass and what the House has done and when we're finally going to get a health plan is so important for this country. Going back to President Harry Truman, we've had presidents who have tried to get some form of a national health plan. I personally think it's a disgrace when we have a country and we have 40 million people who don't have health insurance. We're going to pass a bill that's going to cover 94% of the U.S. citizens, and with these other conditions in it, yes, I'm disappointed on some of the issues, but I think in the long run it's going to lower the cost for our plans, it's going to be good for our members, and it's going to be good for this country.
So in other words, it's not a perfect product, but at least get it out of the Senate and get it into conference, and maybe we can make it better in the in conference committee.
That's correct.
If if it comes out of conference, well, I guess I hear what you're saying. I mean, as weak as it is still more, offers more in terms of health insurance than anything this country has seen since Medicare, I guess, with Lyndon Johnson.
I think so. And if you look at the health care in this country right now, we have the most expensive form of health care in all industrialized countries. The cost of health care is going up between 10 and 15% per year. You know, I know our members, and most of the members in the building trades and other places, we're not going to be able to afford to have insurance. We need to do something to change the health care system in this country. And I think this bill, and I feel confident that they're going to get, we're going to get a health bill, is going to go a long way to improving that, and it'll make this country more competitive worldwide. We've seen what's happened with the automobile industry, one of the main reasons, because of health care. They're competing with foreign countries that provide health care for their members. So
yeah.
I'm very confident that this is going to be, I think it's going to be good for the country. And like I said, there's a few things that we on the union side aren't happy about. But if you look and you watch the news, I don't think anybody's real happy with this bill.
I think you're right. Joe Hunt, again, is our guest. He's the president of the Iron Workers Union here on the Bill Press Show. Joe, one issue that hasn't been talked about much because there's been so much attention to health care is EFCA, or the Employee Free Choice Act. What is the latest on that? Any talk about, do you think the president is still committed, and do you think he'll see some action on that early in 2010?
Well, the president, I believe, is committed. Of course, you know, there's been so much focus this first year of his administration on his health bill. And I think the labor movement realized that there wasn't going to be any action on EPCA until the health bill was passed. Now we're going to have the health bill. It's going to get passed, and I'm very hopeful that we're going to see some action on EPCA. I think most of the labor movement agrees with this. We'll be very disappointed if we don't see some movement on EPCA.
Yeah, overall, I mean that was one of the things that the president campaigned on and promised, you know, that he would deliver on. Not that he has to deliver everything in the first year, but there certainly was no action on it this year. A big difference, overall, everybody at the end of the year is sort of giving President Obama, you know, his grades. In fact, he gave himself a B+ in one interview. Tell us about the difference. Overall, how do you think Obama has been for working men and women, for labor union members in this country, certainly compared to George W. Bush?
Well, compared to George W. Bush, I don't think there's no comparison. You know, in the first day,
night and day,
he repealed the executive order on project labor agreements. He's made a commitment to us on EFCA, and I think that he's going to live up to that. And you look at the conditions that this president came in with the worst depression that we've had since 1928-29, the problems with unemployment. I think that he's done very well managing our government and the problems that we've had. You know, to walk in and then expect that anybody is going to get everything they wanted when you've had the economic downturn that we've had, that he had to face, that he didn't create, that was created by the Bush administration for 8 years, and then I think we're going to see miracles. I mean, this unemployment situation is terrible. I know within the iron workers and probably most of the building trades, we have about 30% of our members unemployed.
Whoa.
And unfortunately, next year...
So 10% is the national unemployment, right? But even up to 30%?
Up to 30%.
Particularly
the trades that do quite a bit of work in the residential. Iron workers, we don't do that much in the residential, so we're between 20 and 25. I know the other trades that do quite a bit of work in the residential are up to 30.
Well, I know one of the reasons that the administration wants to get the health care legislation done is that they can move on to really focus on jobs. Do you see any signs that the job situation is improving with either the stimulus money or any new jobs programs out of the administration?
Well, yeah. I think the stimulus, from what I understand, first portion went, the states administrated it, and it saved police and firefighters and teachers and others, but it didn't trickle down to the construction industry. Now, I understand we're going to try to get a new, some new, I don't think they're calling it stimulus, but some plans where we can get some money into the construction, into the infrastructure, into roads, into bridges, into dams, and that is such a quick way to get people to work.
Yeah,
it puts people on the job, but it also the people making the cement, all the materials that go into these projects, and hopefully.
Yeah, and that's one way to really pump the economy, and I understand that is part of the administration's plan for early 2010. So all we can say is ending 2009 was still a lot of work to do, but the promise of getting things better in 2010. Joe Hunt, good to have you on the program this morning. Thanks so much for your time. Have a great Christmas with your family. And
Bill, you have a great one, too.
All right. We'll talk to you again early in the year.
Thanks for having me on.
All right. Thanks. Hi. Joe Hunt, president of the Iron Workers here on The Bill Press Show.
Podcasts, Twitter feed, and Bill's White House Report exclusively at the brand new BillPressShow.com. This is The Bill Press Show. You're listening to AM 760, Colorado's progressive talk. AM760.net.
When did your life stop being fun? When did you start giving in to your anxiety, your worry, your fear, and depression? At what time did you stop being able to snap out of it? If being happy seems like something you'll never feel again, it doesn't have to feel that way. I'm Lucinda Bassett, founder of the Midwest Center for Stress and Anxiety. I suffered for over 20 years with anxiety, depression, and panic attacks until I took control of my life. That's why I founded the Midwest Center, so people like us could have somewhere to turn to find help. And to help you even more, I'm giving away my powerful free CD to everyone who calls in. You deserve to be happy, and there really is something you can do to help yourself, starting right now. Please call for your free CD. Call now.
Please call right now and we'll send you a powerful, life-changing CD. Absolutely free. Call 1-800-591-0194. That's 1-800-591-0194. 1-800-591-0194.
AM 760, progressive traffic.
Speeds dipping on southbound I-25, especially up in Thornton, 104th to 84th Ave. Also heavy from 38th past Spear Boulevard. One fender bender, it's on Santa Fe at C-470 in Littleton. Also seeing things get busy in Aurora, southbound side of 225, Yosemite to 25. Forecast mostly cloudy and cooler, highs in the lower 40s. Snow after 7 p.m., little accumulation in the overnight. Most of the snow will come on Wednesday, anywhere from 2 to 8 inches. Right now we're at 40 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Mortgages should be illegal because you're getting robbed every month. With a typical $200,000 30-year mortgage, you'll end up paying over $400,000 after interest. Hi, I'm John Commuta, creator of the Transforming Debt into Wealth system. My proven system can eliminate your mortgage and all your debts. Let me send you a powerful free CD. For your free CD, call 1-800-300-4662. 1-800-300-4662. 1-800-300-4662.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit MatrixDirect.com.
Do you think you're getting your money's worth for your life insurance policy? Because if you're 40 and married and are paying more than $14 a month, chances are you're paying too much. Hi, I'm Brent Langdon for Matrix Direct. We partnered with American General Life to find you their lowest rates on term life insurance products. And if you're 40 years old and married, we could find you a $250,000 policy for less than $14 a month, which means you could save hundreds of dollars a year. Call us now for a free no-obligation quote. Call 1-800-500-2609. Since 1995, Matrix Direct has helped over a million people save money on their term life insurance. Don't you want to know how much we could save you? It only takes 5 minutes, and you could save up to 75%, and the call is absolutely free. Call Matrix Direct, 1-800-500-2609. That's 1-800-500-2609. 1-800-500-2609.
Surround her with the strength of your love with the Love's Embrace collection, now at Jared.
That's Jared!
Jared is proud to present the new Love's Embrace collection, diamonds in a design created to capture the comfort found in each other's arms. This holiday, there is surely no more romantic gift. Available as necklaces, rings, or earrings, starting at just $79.99. At Jared, the Galleria of Jewelry.
It can only be Jared!
Find a Jared store or shop anytime at Jared.com.
Check it out on the website, BillPressShow.com. And don't forget your copy waiting for you of Going Rouge, the real book. The honest look at Sarah Palin, put together by the editors of the Nation magazine. Hard to find the bookstores, but you can get it on our website at BillPressShow.com. And while you're there, don't forget to sign up for a podcast so you don't miss any minute of the Bill Press Show or any of the interviews from the day before that you might otherwise miss. Only way to catch the whole show, get download it to iTunes on your iPod is through having a podcast subscription. All right, some other news of the day. I mentioned this to Tucker Carlson. I still think this is outrageous. Tucker defended it. The top army general in northern Iraq says, if you serve here in northern Iraq and you're in military, you're in the uniform, and you get pregnant, you will be court-martialed. The National Organization for Women, quick to protest this policy. Here's spokesperson Terry O'Neill.
Secretary Gates, our Secretary of Defense, I would expect that he would rescind this order the general to rescind the order immediately.
Well, my question is, did Gates know about this order before it went out? I didn't think there were different orders, like regarding pregnancy. I mean, can that just be the rule in northern Iraq, but it's not the rule in southern Iraq? Or what about in Afghanistan? Or what about in Germany? Or what about in Japan? I mean, don't these rules apply, like, overall? Did Gates know about this before the rule was issued? And if he knows about it, does that mean he approved it? And what about the commander-in-chief? What does Obama think about this policy? I have to tell you, I'm going to the White House briefing
a little less than 2 hours from now, and that's going to be my question for Robert Gibbs today. Does the commander-in-chief approve of court-martialing women in the military who get pregnant, as Terry O'Neill says, from now?
How dare any government say we're going to impose any kind of punishment on women for getting pregnant? This is not the 1800s.
All right. How dare they? What policy? Love to know what you think about that at BillPressShow.com or 866-55-PRESS. President Obama, busy with meetings at the White House yesterday, but he took off with the media in tow. It was funny when the media, they were the pool at the White House, was summoned, suddenly saying, hey, we're going off campus. So they piled into the cars, and they had no idea where they were going. Just knew the president was off on some little outing, and he ended up at a boys club in Boys and Girls Club in Northeast Washington, where he walked in with a whole mess of Christmas cookies for the kids and read a little story to them. Here's the president showing up.
Here's the question. Have you guys been good?
Yes!
You think you deserve cookies?
Yes!
They had some of those cookies shaped like Bo, the White House dog, which I brought one of each for Dan and Peter when I went to the White House.
Smuggled some back.
I did.
They're delicious.
Smuggled a couple back. And the president, he made a point of making sure the kids understood that Christmas was about more than getting presents.
You know, it's not just about getting a gift, but it's also doing something for other people. So, you know, being nice to your mom and dad and grandma and aunties and showing respect to people. That's really important, too. That's part of the Christmas spirit, don't you think?
There it is. That's a good message to bring to those little kids. And as he was leaving, one little kid by the name of Nico Letterlaw, who's a little rock star of the day, he invited the president to come back again when he would have time to play some foosball with him.
Come back. Would you like to play me a foosball?
Foosball? You're a pretty good foosball player? You know, I hate getting beat. But I might.
You.
So the kid says, I'll let you win. That's okay.
I like that kid.
I do, too.
I like that
kid. I'll say one thing. He knows that the president always wins. I mean, you know, he's got that down. I'll let you win. You come back and play me. That'd be really funny if you showed up, played a little foosball with Nico. And on another front, finally, Jimmy Kimmel does a very funny thing called, things that should not be censored, right? What's the exact?
It's This Week in Unnecessary Censorship.
This Week in Unnecessary Censorship. Here is his latest round of clips of things that should never, never have been censored.
I believe we should honor the votes cast by 2.3 million people in those states and all of their.
We're hearing reports of a giant countrywide dick fest.
Nobody in America should be because they're gay.
Nobody in America should be because they're gay, says the man who's in the process of this guy.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Don't even smell like letter F. Oh,
do you a lot of
I do. It's good. I like c***. I always have.
Excellent.
I know it's cold outside, but I'm f***ed up.
That's a very funny feature. That the other two. All right. And with that, I'll be back with a bleeping parting shot.
This is the Bill Press Show. You're listening to AM 760, Colorado's progressive talk. AM760.net.
Did you know that last year smoking-related diseases killed 1 in 10 adults globally and nearly 500,000 people in the United States alone? How many times have you tried to quit smoking only to start back up again? How would you like to try an electronic smoking device for free that looks and tastes just like the real thing? Hi, I'm Dr. Richard Sandor for Smoke Assist, the revolutionary electronic smoking device that really satisfies. No tobacco, no smell, no tar, no stained teeth, no smelly clothes, and no more guilt. Live a healthy lifestyle for you and your loved ones. Now you can get Smoke Assist, $130 value for free. Improve your life today and be healthy. I'm so confident that Smoke Assist will work for you that I'm going to give it to you for free.
Get Smoke Assist right now for free. Call 800-734-4186. Get one for you or a friend, 800-734-4186. Limited free offer, so call now, 800-734-4186. That's 800-734-4186.
Hounded by debt collectors with phone calls and letters? Thinking of calling a debt relief company? Don't! Greedy lawyers and debt companies charge thousands. Why pay when you can get their solution absolutely free with New York Times best-selling author Herb Kay's number one debt secret, the how-to on stopping the calls without paying the debt companies. Yes, free for a very limited time. Here's Herb Kay.
Don't get ripped off by credit repair companies when I can give you the information you need to do it yourself for free.
Herb Kay was right. His free information helped me stop the calls and settle my debt.
What have you got to lose? Stop the calls now, get out of debt, and have more money. Get Herb Kay's number one debt secret absolutely free now. Call 888-352-7680. That's 888-352-7680. 888-352-7680.
Hello?
Hello, Mrs. Cook. My name is... Hi, Mr. Taylor. I'm calling today. Mr. Hall, if I could just get a minute of your time.
Cold calling. If you're in sales or run a business, you know just how exhausting it can be to chase after new customers. But what if someone else could find them for you? Targeted leads based on your best customers. Now you can with Sales Genie, the leading provider of targeted sales leads. Tell us exactly who you want and we'll find them. To prove it, we'll help you find 100 new leads by industry, income, hobbies, whatever you're looking for. Yours for free. So you can keep cold calling, or you can make the one call that will count.
Hi, Sales Genie. I'm calling about how to get 100 free leads.
Certainly. Let me get your name.
Call Sales Genie today to find out how to get 100 free targeted leads. 1-800-600-9721. That's 1-800-600-9721. 1-800-600-9721.
Hear AM 760, Colorado's progressive talk on your iPhone or BlackBerry. Details on AM760.net.
The Parting Shot with Bill Press. This is the Bill Press Show.
And on this Tuesday, December 22nd, my parting shot for today on health care for Senate Democrats, it is the moment of truth. Knowing it's a piece of crap, do you vote for the bill in order to get it into conference and improve it, or do you vote to kill it and start all over again? No doubt about it. Without a public plan option, not even the expansion of Medicare, I'm ready to vote no. But then I look at who's on both sides of this issue. Urging a yes vote to keep the bill alive are not only President Obama, but also Joe Biden, Bill Clinton, Tom Harkin, Russ Feingold, Bernie Sanders, Paul Krugman, and Howard Dean. Urging a no vote to kill the bill are Mitch McConnell, John McCain, John Ensign, Lindsey Graham, John Kyle, and Orrin Hatch. Well, you know what? That more or less settles it for me. As much as I don't like this Senate healthcare bill, I refuse to join forces with that evil, do-nothing, no-good, lying Mitch McConnell. Instead, I'd much rather stick with Howard Dean. In the end, I'm going to hold my nose and vote yes. If it doesn't improve in conference, hey, I can always vote no later. That's my parting shot for today, folks. Wes Clark is going to join us tomorrow. I'll be at the White House briefing at 10:15, just a little over an hour from now, and tell you all about it. And then check out the website. We've got a great big surprise for you, a photo of at the White House last Tuesday night. Carol and I were just walking around, and we ran into this couple from Chicago and had our picture taken with this couple from Chicago. Take a look. It'll be up on the website anytime now, BillPressShow.com. See you on the radio again tomorrow.
This is the Bill Press Show.
The anti-aging skincare market is so saturated right now, advertisers will say anything to get you to buy their products. So how do you know which ones to believe? Here's a little secret. Confidence. Companies so confident in their products, they're willing to give them away for free. Like the makers of Hydroxytone. Dermatologist-recommended hydroxytone is clinically proven to visibly erase wrinkles, tighten skin, and make frown lines disappear. It can take years off your appearance faster than you ever thought possible. And if you call now, it's free. The number for your free trial is 1-800-200-3691. See what I mean? Confidence. Hydroxytone's results are so impressive, it was even given away in celebrity gift bags at the Emmy Awards and featured in Allure magazine. Take advantage of this risk-free offer and see for yourself. What do you have to lose, other than a few wrinkles? Get your free trial of Hydroxytone at 1-800-200-3691. Supplies are extremely limited, so please hurry. 1-800-200-3691.
Turn to the left with AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. KKZN, Thornton, Denver, Boulder, and AM760.net.
CBS News, I'm Frank Sedatani. The economy is on the rebound, but it may not be coming back quite as fast as it seemed. Revised figures from the government within the past 30 minutes show that output grew at a 2.2% annual rate in the third quarter of the year, down from the previous estimate of 2.8%. Wells Fargo economist Mark Vittner believes that growth is picking up.
This report would tend to suggest that the fourth quarter number is going to be very strong. We saw a bigger drop in inventories, and that's going to set us up for a huge swing in inventories in the fourth quarter.
60 minutes from now, the real estate industry is due to report on sales of existing single-family homes in November. Forecasters expect sales to hit a nearly three-year high. In Washington, it's two hurdles down and one to go before the Senate's version of health care reform can be put to a final vote. Live to CBS News congressional correspondent Bob Fuss. What's the latest, Bob?
Frank, the Senate approved the last amendment to the health reform bill, the one that dropped the public option and took two more of the procedural votes needed to get to final passage. Republicans continue to delay and can until late on Christmas Eve, though these votes show they can't stop the bill. Senate Leader Harry Reid, reminding senators of the holiday season, asked them to tone down the angry rhetoric and personal attacks and try to be a little nicer to each other.
The Wall Street Journal says computer hackers who may be part of a Russian cyber gang stole tens of millions of dollars from Citibank accounts. Citibank says the story is, quote, just not true. President Obama has just named security expert Howard Schmidt as his cyber czar. CBS News chief political consultant Mark Anvender.
The government has to have more power to monitor private computer networks in order to secure the country, essentially, to protect the power grid, to protect the financial system.
Two deputies in the Tacoma area were shot and critically wounded when they went to check out a report of two brothers fighting. Sheriff spokesman Ed Troyer says the deputies returned fire, killing the alleged gunman.
Everybody's just stunned. It's very quiet. There's a lot of them in there, and the sheriff's in there, and we just know we have a job to do, just like we did a few weeks ago.
It was less than a month ago that a coffee shop gunman shot and killed four police officers in another Tacoma suburb. The insurance industry says only nine of the 60 booster seats it evaluated did a good job of protecting 4 to 8-year-old children. Spokeswoman Ann McCart says 11 seats did little to protect them.
The boosters that we put on our not recommended list, we believe, won't provide a good fit for belts in almost any passenger vehicle.
It's shop around the clock at a dozen Macy's stores that lost sales to foul weather last weekend. Those stores in the East and Midwest will stay open all day and all night until 6 o'clock Christmas Eve. Jen Blaha manages the Macy's in Roseville, Minnesota.
Isn't it exciting? I think it's outstanding. It's exactly what our customer has been asking for, is extended hours, and what better time to do it than during the holiday season?
S&P futures are up more than 3 points just ahead of the opening bell on Wall Street. This is CBS News.
Some brands benchmark their competition. Chevy goes even further and looks at the best of the best. You can see it in their fit and finish and the meticulous attention to detail paid to their new cars and crossovers. People are noticing too, including the toughest of critics. In fact, no one has more Consumer's Digest Best Buys for the 2010 model year than Chevy. With award-winning cars and crossovers, compare Chevy to anyone, and may the best car win.
Hurry into the Home Depot and take up to 50% off our already low prices on select holiday decorations. That means you don't have to wait until after Christmas for all those after Christmas price cuts. So come in, grab a cart or two, and start stocking up on decorations. Because with savings like this, they won't last long. That's what happens when select decorations are up to 50% off. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only while supplies last. See store for details.
I'm Jason Borgman with an AM 760 local news update. Well, if you got plans to head east for the holidays,
you better leave today. Otherwise, it doesn't look like it's going to be a very fun situation for those traveling.
Dave Varsenbrook with the National Weather Service says a major storm moves into Colorado tonight, bringing the metro area anywhere from 4 to 8 inches of snow. Colorado Senator Michael Bennett says he will vote for health care reform because it is a step in the right direction. On the floor of the Senate, he vowed to make sure the plan doesn't balloon the deficit.
It's why I introduced an amendment that will ensure that health care will pay down the deficit by forcing Congress to make adjustments if reform doesn't meet the cost estimates we have projected.
Bennett says he's being criticized by some for not making a deal to win his vote. Final vote in the Senate is expected Thursday. And Denver's among the top cities in the U.S. where we love reading. An annual survey from Central Connecticut State University ranks the 10 most literate cities in America. Denver's number 10 this year, Seattle's number 1. Rankings are based on things like number of bookstores, library resources, and education. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News Update. I'm Jason Borgman. Now here's your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
I'd start to this morning's commute. Southbound I-25 loading up on the approach to 84th, but no serious delays yet. 270 also getting busier across Commerce City, especially in those eastbound lanes. 76 towards Vasquez, but no wrecks or stalls to get in your way. Quick check on today's forecast. We will see some snow, most likely after 5 this afternoon. It's going to be a cloudy day with a high in the mid-40s. More snow in the overnight. We could see 2 to 4 inches possible before tomorrow morning. Currently 34. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Last-minute gift shopping doesn't get any easier than picking up gift cards at Safeway. There are over 300 to choose from, all your favorite stores. There's one for everyone on your list. Safeway, ingredients for life.
Sirota is not your garden variety liberal.
David Sirota.
He's bright, he's intelligent, he is very committed.
On AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Bye, bye, bye.
706 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. I'm David Sirota with, 3 days until my week-long winter vacation starts. Turk is taking a little bit of a break starting, what, Thursday?
Yeah, Thursday is my mother's birthday, so we're going to go hang out up at the cabin.
Her birthday is Christmas Eve?
Christmas Eve, yeah, so... We always have a little birthday party for her on Christmas Eve, and then Christmas Day we'll, you know, have a good time with the kids. Stacy took the kids to see Santa Claus yesterday at the mall.
How'd it go?
Great.
That's cool.
Yeah, I've been having some problems with my 6-year-old. Won't listen, likes to lie or not tell the truth.
The terrible sixes.
And take stuff, you know, when you tell them not to.
Yeah.
So we took Santa aside, or Stacy did beforehand, said, Santa, you need pull him aside, and, you know.
You got Santa to do the parenting.
Yeah, like, Tyson, I've been watching you.
That's pretty
cool.
Man,
he's scared now. So he was a really good boy yesterday.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah,
that's,
you know, Santa cool. Does put the kids in line. Thank you, Santa.
But you will be back after, in between Christmas and New
Year's. I will.
Year's.
I'm filling in for you
right. The
28th through the 31st. So I'll be here for 4 days filling in.
Cool.
Yeah,
cool.
I'm nervous.
Very
I haven't
cool.
done it in a while.
Oh, you'll be fine. Come
I know.
On.
I'll get through it.
And it'll be a low key week.
Yeah, we'll just try to have some fun next week.
Yeah, not like we have any fun here right now.
Did you hear what the top of the news? I know. I didn't mean that. I didn't mean it that way, Dave. I'm gonna go really light next week.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah,
you know what
should.
I mean.
It's one of those weeks.
Yeah, and we'll see. You know, I'm sure there's gonna be a lot more news with healthcare and stuff like that.
But well, I think that, you know, the thing is, out of the news today, the healthcare bill. It looks like they're aiming to end it by Christmas Eve. So it might be a moot point by the time you get back. They had a procedural vote today, and now the last vote is expected to be on Christmas Eve. And we're going to be talking more about that starting at 8:05 with former Vermont governor, we got him, and former DNC chairman Howard Dean. He's going to be our guest to discuss health care reform and what we should do moving forward. Then at 9, we'll check in with Media Matters about their Misinformer of the Year. Media Misinformer of the Year. I won't tell you who it is. I wonder if you can guess.
I think most of our audience can guess.
Yes, I bet most of our audience.
I mean, you could probably narrow it down to 2 people.
Yeah, that's right. That's
but,
right.
Yeah, that's a good one.
And then at 9:30, we'll be joined by the one Democratic U.S. senator who had the guts to vote against Ben Bernanke's nomination in the Senate Banking Committee, the senator from Oregon, Jeff Merkley. But in this first hour, speaking of fun, we're going to have a little bit of fun. We're going to step back a little bit from the healthcare debate, because we're going to get into it at the 8:05 in the 8:05 hour. And this first hour, you know, we've been thinking about I've been thinking about the end of the year. You know, it's a lot of retrospectives out there, and the interesting part about this is that this kind of end of the year only comes along once every 10 years. We're at the end of a decade. And I wanted to throw out there a request to hear from you about what you think this decade, and if you want to weigh in, what you think this year will be remembered for. And I'm reading here, for instance, there's a lot of these lists out there. And here's the AP's, Associated Press's top stories of 2009. And I'm reading here. And I wonder what you think the top stories are.
What is the top story 2009? Michael Jackson's death?
Well, I'll do that. I'll go number 10. I'll do the 10 and we'll go backwards. Number 10, AP says the miracle on the Hudson, the U.S. Airways passenger jet with both its engines disabled, made that emergency landing in the Hudson River. Number 9, Ted Kennedy dies. Number 8, the Fort Hood rampage. Number 7, Michael Jackson only clocks in at number 7, the death of Michael Jackson. Number 6, Afghanistan, escalating in Afghanistan. I mean, there's something really sick about an AP list where an escalation of a war only ranks one slot higher than the death of Michael Jackson. But
well, who put this list together?
It's AP. Their biggest news stories of the year. Number 5, the swine flu outbreak. Number 4, the auto industry bailout. Number 3, the health care debate. Number 2, President Obama's inauguration. And the number 1 news story, as voted by U.S. editors and news directors, is the economy. The economy in general, the economic meltdown. So I wonder what.
Well, see, that started in 2008, though, didn't it?
Yeah, really? that's kind of cheap.
I mean, that one, and then the whole inauguration thing, you know, I'm sorry. The election day, I can see how election day in 2008.
Yeah.
But the inauguration day.
Yeah, I mean, right. It's kind of a.
I mean, those two just don't make sense to me.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a moot point. Okay. But I want to hear from folks out there. 303-713-7600. Again, 303-713-7600, or instant message us at am760.net. Click over to the David Sirota page. What do you think this decade is going to be remembered for? What do you think? I mean, it's hard to sum up an entire decade. And what do you think the most memorable or most important moments from the 2000s, I guess you call it, the aughts, some people call it. And if you got any, by the way, if you have any recommendations for what we should name the decade, right? I mean, the aughts, the 2000s. It's kind of weird because, you know, there was like the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, the 90s. It's kind of, it doesn't fit in very well this last decade.
We're back in the dark ages, Dave.
Yeah, I think this was, this last decade was a pretty,
For Americans, you got to say that the 2000s will be kind of remembered as the Bush years.
Yeah, I think so. And I think, you know, I think you got to go beyond the Bush years, in the sense
the destruction of the middle class.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, there was a Wall Street Journal report yesterday that said the last 10 years were the worst performance for any decade in the stock market's history overall for any single decade. And we saw, I think, rampant inequality. We saw inequality increase, really accelerate. The rich get richer, the poor get poorer. And just we got a couple more lists here. I wanted to read you this. This is Politico's list of the best quotes just of 2009. I think it's 10. Here we go. The most memorable quotes of 2009. Here's one from former Alaska Governor Sarah Palin. The America I know and love is not one in which my parents or my baby with Down syndrome will have to stand in front of Obama's death panel so his bureaucrats can decide based on a subjective judgment of their level of productivity in society whether they are worthy of health care. So the death panel, quote, making this list. You lie, of course, making this list. You've got this from Congressman Pete Hoekstra, the Michigan Republican. Iranian Twitter activity similar to what we did in the House last year when Republicans were shut down in the House. So equating the Republican stand with the Iranian freedom fight. Another quote, why? Because I'm a black man in America. That's from Harvard professor Henry Louis Gates on being confronted by that police officer. This guy, I believe, is a racist. That's Fox News Channel's Glenn Beck on President Obama. You want me to tell you what my husband thinks? My husband is not Secretary of State. Remember that? That was from Hillary Clinton.
Yep. She got upset about that one.
Yeah, she got real upset about that one. So I wonder what you think the 2000s, this last year and the 2000s in general will be remembered for. And I have to say, you know, the moment that sticks out to me, obviously, and this is a real easy one, but the sort of, I remember where I was exactly at the moment it happened. You know, the 9/11 was obviously the, I think for many people, that moment of the decade. Do you remember where you were?
I sure do.
Where were you?
I was actually sleeping, and my wife, it was when I wasn't working the morning shift, and I want to say it was, what, around like 7 or 8 o'clock our time? Wasn't it like 9:15 Eastern time? Stacy comes walking in, comes running in the bedroom like, you won't believe what just happened. So she turns it on, and I swear, I'm watching TV, and within 60 seconds, the second airplane goes in. I mean, I'd like just woken up, and it just seems so
surreal.
Yeah. I mean, it didn't seem real.
Yeah.
And she's like, look what happened, you know, and she turns it on, and so I'm watching the smoke billow from one of the towers, and then we watched the second one hit live, you know, and it was, yeah, I definitely remember where I was. And we had just had our first kid, Madison, and, yeah, I definitely will never forget that day. And then, of course, working here in like a news department, it was just crazy for weeks.
I'm sure it was. I was in the...
You were in D.C., weren't you?
Yeah, I was in the Capitol office building.
We had you on after a two-year anniversary or three-year anniversary.
Yeah, I was that day. I was in the Capitol office complex, and I had a little TV on my computer, and I was watching it, and I was instant messaging with a friend. And, I remember what was so weird about it was the news broadcast. The first plane hits, and it was sort of... They didn't know if it was a small plane or a big plane, mm-hmm. and so it was sort of this weird, you know, reporting. It was they
like,
weren't.
Was, it was an act, you know.
It was
it
an, accident,
been an accident,
right? Yeah, it was. There wasn't a lot of panic, and then the second one hit, and things started going really, really haywire.
Yeah.
In the
I mean,
Capitol.
I think all of America felt they were under attack at that moment.
Yeah,
you know?
And that's got to be the sort of moment of the decade, and I think the decade unfortunately really went downhill from there.
Well,
I mean,
it did. Americans have given away a lot of their freedom since September 11th, 2001.
And fear, really, I think, mm-hmm. has come to dominate how we do everything in this country. Well, maybe not everything, but a lot of things in this country. And so I think the 2000s will go down in history as a real black mark on our country's history. A real step back. I wonder what
I was
going to
say the same
think.
Thing. It's a step. It's been a step backwards, I think, for American civilization and for the freedoms of our people, and like you said, the whole fear-based thing, now it's like that's used.
That's just the
in
way,
everyday politics.
Yeah, right. I mean,
know?
and we know that because, you know, we obviously saw that during the lead up to the Iraq War, right after September 11th. But we see it in everything, right? We saw it in the bank bailout, right? Remember they scared us into supporting the bank bailout. I mean, this is a country. We have become a country, I think, and this last decade has taught us that, to be a country that acts out of fear. That's how we make decisions now. I wonder if you think that's being too harsh. How do you think the 2000s will be remembered? 303-713-7600 is the number again. 303-713-7600. After the break, I'll fill you in on a couple of stories making news out there, including... but not limited to lobbyists on pace for a record-breaking year in income. We're going to get to health care in the 8 a.m. hour with former Governor Howard Dean, so stick around for that. But right now, we thought we'd kick it off with a little retrospective on the year. What you think this year, what you think this decade will be remembered for? Was it a good decade, a bad decade? What do you think the moments, the most memorable, most important moments of the decade were? 303-713-7600. Also, instant messages, am760.net. Click over to the David Sirota page. Let's get a traffic update with John Turk.
Well, we have a little problem. Southbound I-25, somebody's changing a tire. It's right around Santa Fe, partially blocking the left lane. not a good place to change a tire at this point in the morning. Also, heavy southbound side of 25 up in Thornton, 104th to 84th. That's the hot spot where speeds are falling into the 20s and 30s. If you're in Aurora, southbound 225, going to be heavy from Yosemite to 25. Also seeing some heavier traffic on eastbound 270 between 76 and Vasquez. Forecast, cloudy and cool, a high of 43 degrees. Evening snow after 7 p.m., small accumulation in the overnight, but anywhere from 2 to 8 inches total through Wednesday. Right now, 36 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Inside this truck are some very special batteries, because these batteries are going to the Mattel Children's Hospital, UCLA, where they know that making kids better takes all kinds of technologically advanced equipment. And quite a few Hot Wheels and Barbies and Polly Pockets. So to power all those toys, the people at Duracell pack that truck full of batteries. Because they know nothing's better than powering a smile. Duracell. Trusted everywhere.
There's never been a better time to find the home of your dreams. The National Association of Realtors wants you to know the Home Buyer Tax Credit has been extended and expanded. Current homeowners can receive a $6,500 tax credit. First-time buyers are still eligible to receive an $8,000 credit. The opportunity of a lifetime ends April 30th. Talk to a realtor for qualification details or visit houselogic.com/homebuyertaxcredit. Every market's different. Call a realtor today. Income qualification applies. Only realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
Save money with Bargain Watch at am760.net. This week, get a $50 gift certificate to Smoker Friendly for only $25. Plus, tons of coupons from businesses all around town. Brought to you by Comcast. Click on Bargain Watch at am760.net.
You like listening to music on your computer? Listen to this. Now you can hear all your iTunes playlists, internet radio stations, sports, and more in a different room with the new Bose Wave Music System SoundLink. No need to run wires. A small USB plug-in sends audio wirelessly from your computer to the system. This compact system plays CDs and AM/FM radio too, and it sounds much bigger than its size. The Wave Music System now plays music from your computer wirelessly. Check it out. It's only from Bose.
You like that nothing beats Castrol Edge in wear protection.
That's awesome.
That's thinking with your dipstick. You switch to Castrol Edge for 8 times better wear protection than Mobil 1.
That's awesome.
That's thinking with your dipstick. You sent that photo from the company party to the whole office.
Johnson! In my office!
So, not awesome.
That's not thinking with your dipstick. Think with your dipstick. Upgrade to Castrol Edge. It's more than just oil. It's liquid engineering. Learn more at yourdipstick.com.
5W30s tested in industry standard sequence 4A wear test.
In and explore the mysteries of your mind. Then catch the Inevitable Radio Show Saturdays at 8 a.m. right here on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Recently, New Vitality Health Products gave away 500 free bottles of the supplement Beta Prostate to listeners of this station. Due to incredible demand, they're giving away more free bottles of Beta Prostate to any new customers who call now. Remember, your prostate affects urine flow, sleeping habits, and quality of life. You can call right now for one free bottle of Beta Prostate. You only pay shipping and handling. Call 1-800-394-6545. 1-800-394-6545. That's 1-800-394-6545.
And what do you believe in, Hillary?
I believe in forgiveness.
Oh, thank you, honey.
Oh, shut up.
Ow. I guess it's still a touchy subject.
Come sit to my right.
Oh, nice leather.
Obama, what do you believe in?
Well, I believe that's my chair you're sitting in.
I believe, honey.
Tis the season to believe.
I'm not kidding.
AM 760.
Oh, brother.
Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. What do you think the 2000s are going to be remembered for? What do you think the last year is going to be remembered for? AP says the big story of this year was the economy. That was their number one news story. One thing I can tell you is the lobbying industry. The lobbying industry still making big money. That's a story in the Politico today. One of their year-end looks back on the on the year in politics. Main Street has had a tough year, losing jobs and seeing little evidence of the revival that experts say has already begun. But K Street, the street where all the lobbyists work in Washington, is raking it in. Washington's influence industry is on track to shatter last year's record $3.3 billion spent to lobby Congress and the rest of the federal government. And that's with a down economy and about 1,800 fewer registered lobbyists in town. That's incredible. $3.3 billion spent on lobbying this year just in Washington. I don't know, man. When I think of that, you know, the year in review in politics, we just think of 2009. I tell you, 2009 is going to be a year that will go down in history. And I think increasingly it will go down in history as a very, very dark year. A very, very dark year at the very, very dark end of a very, very dark decade. What do you think? 303-713-7600 is the number. 3713-7600. And Turk was saying that that he agrees, that he thinks this decade's going to be remembered for the darkness. But maybe that's not right. Maybe you see it another way. Maybe you think we've made some progress.
I mean, fashion's been bad this decade, Dave.
You think so?
I think so. Like, you know, you've seen the 80s come back. You've seen the 70s come
back.
Hey,
man, don't rip on the 80s. Don't worry, I'm writing a book about the
80s. Fashion-wise, you know, the haircuts have gotten really strange again.
Yeah, well, and the tattoo craze.
The tattoo craze. That's something. Who doesn't have a tattoo nowadays?
I know. The tattoo craze.
You're pretty hard. You're tatted, aren't you?
I got no tattoo.
I know.
I got no tattoo.
I know.
No way.
But, yeah, and music-wise, you know, kind of a strange decade music-wise, too.
Well,
Nothing really sticks out.
Hip-hop kind of went crazy this decade.
Yeah. And dance music.
Dance music, that's right. So what do you think?
Weird decade.
So what do you think, folks? What do you think 2000 will be remembered for, the 2000s? Lee in Boulder. Lee, you're on AM 760. Hello, Lee.
Hi. Been listening a long time. I really think you do a great show, and I think I have a fairly succinct summary of the decade. I think that we basically were served a big plate of terror with a nice side of green served under a heat lamp that's been globally warmed.
That's a good way of putting it, man. So you're on the side of that that this decade was a pretty dark time.
Well, I think those are some of the main topics that everyone seemed to talk about throughout the 10 years.
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, the question is, like, I wonder if people and people older than me should probably answer this question, but I wonder out of the decades that we now look back on favorably. You know, like we look back on the 60s fairly favorably. I mean, people look back at the decades and the 60s, for instance, and they acknowledge that there was obviously it was a dark time as well, but it was a time of great tumult and time of great progress as well. So I wonder when that people looked back on the 60s, right after the 60s, whether they felt like it was a real letdown. I mean, there's a lot of talk out there right now that the 2000s was a genuine step for the nation. That we actually, in our sort of historic trajectory, we really took a step back. Do you see it that way?
Yeah, I kind of do, at least a stagnation or a pause on our progress.
Yeah, I mean, and what in particular? You're saying global warming, the rise of fear, terrorism, that kind of stuff?
I think the terrorism thing brought on a lot of change to our perceptions and a lot of change to our how we dealt with each other and how we dealt with the world. And so a lot of things got put on hold as people kind of were afraid to speak out a little bit and it just kind of got clamped down a little bit.
Yeah, and, you know, I think that also coincides with the rise of this hyper-partisanship, this sort of we can't get along with each other at all. I mean, I'll give you folks an example. And, Lee, thanks for your call. I really appreciate it. Let me give folks a personal example. I have gotten just a tremendous amount of really, really nasty and really, really personal hate mail over the last month or so. And I get a lot of hate mail for the columns I write, for the radio show I do. And I got tremendous amount of really nasty hate mail. And especially in the last month. I really felt it. When I spoke out about the Afghanistan escalation, I mean, you should have seen some of the emails I got. At one point earlier, when I was on CNN a month, I got a death threat. And then this last couple weeks, I've been accused pretty viciously of somehow being in it for myself in saying that the health care bill has not been enough. And look, it's fine for us to disagree, right? It's fine for us to disagree. But I do think that the 2000s has ushered in a period in our history where people feel absolutely fine just ripping people's face off and really, really viciously attacking people, not without any factual evidence, and attacking people's motives, without any factual evidence. Now, if you had evidence of that I was shilling for an industry, right, shilling for the drug industry or something like that, then you could obviously bring that into the debate. But I just think that we have lost the ability, and maybe it's because the internet has been put between people, right? I mean, a lot of times interaction is over the internet, and I think that it's really bummed me out the last couple of months. I'm not going to lie, it's really, really bummed me out. It is no fun to open up your email. I mean, I've had to create a rule in my house now. I can't open my email. I'm not allowed to look at my email after about 7 p.m. because I won't sleep, because I've been getting so much nasty hate mail, and really, really, again, personal. And I think that has to do with the legacy of the 2000s, which the 2000s has ushered in, has made us a really, really nasty country in many ways. I called it a well, I'm not allowed to use the word that I would use, but you can extrapolate this. I once wrote a blog post recently about how we've become a nation of buttholes, and you can extrapolate what word I actually use.
Dave, I totally agree with you, and I saw the transformation. For me, I kind of saw it 2004. There was a lot of that's when you really started to see the heart. Hardcore between people politically in this country when the whole Bush-Kerry thing went down, and then Bush got a second term, and that's when I really saw the whole division and the hatred and just people just being mean to each other.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
I really agree. And you know, that rule, and you know, it's not fair to you. I mean, you're just doing it. You're just doing your job. But what other jobs out there are you under scrutiny? You know, and I totally get why you wouldn't want to read your emails after 7:30.
It's nasty, man.
But again, you know, 9 out of 10 of them are nice and love what you're doing.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. And I hear the nasty ones. You know,
the nasty ones. And it's
think,
not fair. It's
I think
really
when
not
you
fair.
When you look out across the society, I think we have become a more coarse society because of the last decade. Josh and Aurora. Josh, you're on AM 760.
Hey, sir, I just wanted to comment on the last couple of years. Myself being in the military, I think it's been great. Awesome job security. And for once, with the recession, those of us in the military can actually afford to live the way we should be paid to live. That, and we can also be a lot more picky now with who we bring into the military with the recession. We don't have to, you know, pick up the dregs of society anymore. We can actually have people come in that want to serve this country, not trying to get out of debt.
Well, that's a little bit. I don't understand that. I mean, I don't understand the logic in the sense of that military recruiters have said, in fact, that the recession. Well, now whether it's the right choice or not, but the recession, the economic pressure on people has compelled more people to look to the military.
Yes. However, now we don't have to write waivers to get people in that have certain criminal records. We don't have to beg to get
people. I see. Yeah. No, that makes sense. Yeah, that makes sense.
And we can build a much stronger force. It's been proven time and time again. You know, I feel sorry for people that don't have a job. Of course I do. But at the same time, for once, you know, people that point the finger and say, oh, the military is this, military is that. You know what? I've been in for 12 years. I'm not a 9/11 baby. I have been in for years and didn't join just because I had to, you know, make up my mind on what I wanted to do in life. So, on the whole, with war and everything, it's great job security, and I really wish people would quit, especially those that serve, would quit babying about going overseas. So what? You signed up for it, do it, enjoy it, we trained for it, you should love it.
And well, I mean, I mean, I, you know, look, you're in the military, so I mean, you have every right to that opinion. Obviously, I would just say this. I mean, I think there's, if you can acknowledge that some people feel economically compelled because there are no other opportunities or few opportunities.
Don't join. You should join.
Well,
I agree
with you there, but I also think that's an easy thing to say, and that's an easy rejoinder. An overly simplistic rejoinder in an economy that is hemorrhaging jobs. Now, I don't disagree with you on the merits of it, but it's a little. I guess what I'm saying is a little less simple than just don't join. I mean, people are desperate out there.
It's a waste of time to train these people when they find out that they don't like waking up at 4:30 in the morning. When they find out they have a problem with taking orders. When they find out overseas and do something. That's what I'm saying. It's not an easy fix. It's not a quick fix in life.
Yeah, well, that's true. That's true, man. That's definitely true. Hey, Josh, thanks for the call, man.
No worries.
Dave, some people have no way out,
But that's right. That's my point.
I couldn't agree with that last call. Disagree with that last caller more. When you look at the obits, people that are dying in Afghanistan and Iraq, where are they from, Dave? I don't see them from, cities like Chicago, New York City, Denver.
Yeah, it's hit the heartland really hard.
Yeah, it's exactly. These are, a lot of these are kids that really have no way down.
That's right. And look, I think,
And he called them the dregs of society.
Well, what he said was that the military has not had to, now in the recession, does not have to rely only, quote-unquote, on the dregs of society, which is pretty harsh, and I disagree with it, too, completely. But to his point, and I think he didn't try to make this point, but it is the point that stuck out subtly, which is that in a permanent war economy, right, in a permanent war economy, the military has become more and more central to our lives. And I think, again, when we look back on this decade, we will look back and say this was a very, very, very militaristic time in our country's history, almost like, and you mentioned it before, almost like the 80s. 303-713-7600 is the number again, 303-713-7600. How are the 2000s going to be remembered? Do you think it was a good decade, a bad decade? Where do you come down? 303-713-7600. Click over to our website, am760.net. Send us an instant message. I'll read some of those after a traffic update with John Turk.
Dave, it's really light out there again this morning, just like yesterday. Speeds still in the 30s and 40s on most of the major highways around town. We are busy in the normal spots, southbound side of I-25, 104th to 84th, again from Park Avenue past Spear, and then another small stretch, 6th Avenue to Santa Fe. That's due to that earlier person that was changing the tire there at Santa Fe. Also heavy in Aurora, southbound 2 1/4 Yosemite to I-25. Forecast, mostly cloudy and cooler, highs in the lower 40s. Snow after 7 p.m. with about 1 to 3 inches in the overnight. Look for about 4 to 8 inches total with this system. Our current downtown temperature is 36 degrees. John Turk, AM760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
This year, spend less time chasing sales and more time really enjoying Christmas. With Walmart's Price Match Promise, you can do all your holiday shopping at Walmart. That means more holiday time with your family. Restrictions apply. See store for details. Save money, live better, Walmart.
If you like listening to music on your computer, listen to this. Now you can hear all your iTunes playlists, internet radio stations, sports, or in a different room with the new Bose Wave Music System SoundLink. No need to run wires. A small USB plug-in sends audio wirelessly from your computer to the system. This compact system plays CDs and AM/FM radio too, and it sounds much bigger than its size. The Wave Music System now plays music from your computer wirelessly. Check it out. It's only from Bose.
World's fastest, easiest way to learn a new language that will give you a free demo.
To get your free demo from Rosetta Stone, call now. 1-800-6217. 1-800-6217. 1-800-600-6217.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit MatrixDirect.com.
Do you think you're getting your money's worth for your life insurance policy? Because if you're 40 and married and are paying more than $14 a month, chances are you're paying too much. Hi, I'm Brent Langdon for Matrix Direct. We partnered with American General Life to find you their lowest rates on term life insurance. And if you're 40 years old and married, we could find you a $250,000 policy for less than $14 a month, which means you could save hundreds of dollars a year. Call us now. Free, no obligation quote. Call 1-800-500-2609. Since 1995, Matrix Direct has helped over a million people save money on their term life insurance. Don't you want to know how much we could save you? It only takes 5 minutes, and you could save up to 75%, and the call is absolutely free. Call Matrix Direct, 1-800-500-2609. That's 1-800-500-2609. 1-800-500-2609.
The anti-aging skincare market is so saturated right now, advertisers will say anything to get you to buy their products. So how do you know which ones to believe? Here's a little secret. Confidence. Companies so confident in their products, they're willing to give them away for free. Like the makers of Hydroxytone. Dermatologist-recommended Hydroxytone is clinically proven to visibly erase wrinkles, tighten skin, and make frown lines disappear. It can take years off your appearance faster than you ever thought possible. And if you call now, it's free. The number for your free trial is 1-800-200-3691. See what I mean? Confidence. Hydroxytone's results are so impressive, it was even given away in celebrity gift bags at the Emmy Awards and featured in Allure magazine. Take advantage of this risk-free offer and see for yourself. What do you have to lose, other than a few wrinkles? Get your free trial of Hydroxytone at 1-800-200-3691. Supplies are extremely limited, so please hurry. 1-800-200-3691.
Need advice about simple home repairs? The Fix It Up with Steve and Matina show gives tips on money-saving home repair, buying, and selling a home, and provides a forum for homeowner questions. Tune in Saturday mornings at 10 on AM 7 Colorado's Progressive Talk.
7:40 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. We're getting instant messages, 760.net. Click over to the David Sirota page, taking this first hour this morning. Trying to remember what the 2000s will be remembered for. What do you think they'll be remembered for? 303-713-7600. We're getting some instant messages here. I'll read you a couple. Americans are frustrated and don't know who now or what to blame for all the killing and the dying that we are all paying for. That was from Thomas in South Carolina, listening in, I guess, by a web stream. Hey, Thomas. This is from Harris in Detroit. We're now leaving the decade of hell brought to us by the Republican Party. He calls them the Rethuglican Party. You remember them. They used to be the fiscal conservatives. Yeah, I do remember them. I will say this. The change in the Republican Party in 2000, man. I mean, John McCain in 2000, I won't lie, I'll be honest with you. John McCain in 2000 was one of the most inspiring political figures that I have ever seen in my life. Now, the John McCain of subsequent years has obviously changed, but that campaign, the John McCain of 2000, to think about the Republican Party, think about the John McCain of 2000 to the John McCain of 2008, I mean, it's unbelievable, right? That change. And the Republican Party really has changed. That's been one of the depressing parts about the 2000s, how that political party has really changed for the worse. And I got to say, you know me, I'm a progressive. But I think it's healthy in a country to have two honest political parties. And so I'll go even further and say that if the 2000s are remembered for anything in politics, I think it will be remembered for a time where corporate America really took over, in many ways, both political parties. And that's why so many people feel alienated. I mean, this spike in the 2000s of independent voters, self-identified independent voters, I mean, that is really a signal that this is the decade, this has been the decade of true political alienation. What do you think? 303-713-7600. Kurt in Centennial. Kurt, you're on AM 760.
Morning, David.
How Morning. All right.
Hey, I think you characterized it earlier pretty well. I think this will be known as the decade of fear and Fox.
Yeah, that's right. You know, I didn't even mention that. Right. Fox News, the 2000s, I mean, that's really when it came into its own. I mean, really when Fox News came into its own. Fox News is part of the fear machine, right?
Oh, absolutely. And the kind of division you were talking about and what happened to the Republican Party. I mean, what people need to realize, the Republican Party is almost exclusively now a Southern white party.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
And so this is where a lot of this comes from. I mean, a perfect example of what you were talking about was last night, Senator Tom Coburn, an idiot from Oklahoma, said we ought to pray that the alien Senator Robert Byrd couldn't make it to vote on health care.
I saw that. Basically praying for Robert Byrd to basically to die.
I know, and it's incredible. I think the aughts will be known as a horrible decade, and as you know, the Bush administration, the Bush-Cheney war machine, you know, they lied so much, but a lot of it hadn't really sunk in on people. And as the secrets, you know, run out, you know, because they've got what, a 20-year thing where you can't get the documents or whatever. Eventually, when the documentation comes out on this administration, we'll find out how corrupt and how bad they really were, because they're meeting some people today don't realize how bad that administration truly, truly was.
Yeah, I think that's right. And you know, I think it's sad for the country. And I say that as, again, I'm a progressive, but the fact that there is no honest Republican Party, I mean, not even close. I mean, it's not good for the country. And I think we've become, frankly, a one-party country. And I've written about this before, that we really have. I mean, we have it's two parties, but it's not the Democrat and Republican Party. It's the Money Party and the People Party. And if you look at it in those terms, we're really looking at a one-party country where the Money Party has grown and learned to control every lever of government. You see that in the bank bailouts. You see that in the hijacking of the health care bill. And it's really a tragedy. And I only hope, I mean, the silver lining is that maybe a lot of people are realizing this, right? I mean, maybe a lot of people are realizing this. They're realizing it through the Bush administration, the failures of the Bush administration. They're realizing it through the disenchantment right now with the Obama administration, that the real problem in this country is that we have become a one-party country, a money-party country. And I think I'm hopeful. I mean, I still am hopeful that the next decade, that realization will give us a chance for something different. Hey, Kurt, thanks for the call, man. Let's go to Tim in Westminster. Hey, Tim, how you doing, man?
Good morning.
Morning, Tim.
You know, I don't know if this has been caught, but it seems to me that this decade will be remembered for the Bush presidency for two disputed elections, especially that first one. I think that that's taken the heart out of a lot of people who care anything about politics. That first one really said to people, you know, that your vote doesn't matter.
Yeah, I
firmly believe the second one. There's a lot of reasons.
Well, but without getting into that, I'll say this about, I mean, the 2000 election was demoralizing from a small D Democratic perspective, and I think a lot of people look at that and say that was the, you know, obviously the opening of the decade. But 2004, I would submit to you that the 2004 election was actually even more of a landmark for the decade of the 2000s, because, look, it was close, and some people think that Kerry actually won. But here's the thing. The fact that it was that close after George Bush did what he did in his first term, that was a truly demoralizing moment, because...
Yeah, you're right. There's that famous British tabloid headline that said, "How can 56 million people be so dumb?"
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that kind of ripped my heart out, right? 2004 election, people, we knew what this person was, and a huge amount of people voted for him anyway, and it was just like, wow, we are really, really off the rails. Hey, Tim, thanks for the call, man. And I mentioned that at least, especially in the last part of this decade, I think the people's anger and frustration at all the things we're talking about has really created a coarseness. And I want to be clear. I just got an email here, a nasty email here from somebody saying, "Well, Sirota, you're part of the problem. You've been nasty at times." Well, you know what? I have been nasty at times. And the thing is that it's hard in a coarse society not to allow yourself to sink down into the swamp as well, right? I don't absolve myself of all this, right? I mean, I clearly have been a jerk at some times, and I don't forgive myself for that. I'm sorry for being a part of that, but I think that when you live in a society, especially in the work that I do in media work, where I try to speak my mind honestly. I mean, one thing I hope people see is that if I'm anything, I'm at least honest, and I get a lot of blowback for it. You know what? At times of weakness, I hit back. And I hit back not so nicely, I'll admit that. And that's what I'm saying, though. We've created that culture where that has become the norm. And I think the 2000s are going to be remembered for the coarsening of that culture. Barbara and Parker. Barbara, you're on AM 760.
Hi.
Hey there.
I wanted to step back a couple of calls to about the military.
Yes, ma'am.
So here's the thing, the comment about dregs of society and, you know, coming from small towns. And I can only go by me search because my son right now is trying to get into the military.
Mm-hmm.
And he basically what they're doing is they up the ante on the regulations. So it's a lot more difficult to get into the military these days. He had a drug paraphernalia charge like 6 years ago. He's clean, blah, blah, blah. But yet, you know, it's the Army. And so they're not allowing him in. So my question is, if they have all these guys going back on tours of duty, and yet they're upping the ante on getting into the Army, but yet they have all these contractors over in Afghanistan and Iraq, you just start wondering what is going on exactly.
Yeah, that's a really, really good point. And you're right. There's three things that are going on. There's more military contractors. There's longer tours of duty. But if you're right, and recruitment officers will say this, that their recruitment numbers are very they're teeming with possible recruits. Mm-hmm. And maybe that and you say maybe they're not. There's been a whole debate about whether to expand the size of the standing army. But it is a good question about what is really going on. What is our military strategy all about? And I think part of it, I can only give you a guess at what part of it is, Barbara, which is that we have privatized so many functions of the military through these contractors that is where more and more of the military activity really is. It's less in the Army. I'm not saying it's not in the Army at all, but what I'm saying is as a fraction,
right,
we are using more and more private contractors. Then you start asking the question, well, why? Right? And then that's a scary question, because the answer is, in part, that some of those contractors don't have to follow the same rules of combat, and we know that from Blackwater, that the military has to follow. Some of them are working for private corporations, you know, the Halliburtons of the world. I mean, so there's a lot of complex parts of this, and to bring it back to where we started in this conversation about what this decade will be remembered for. On military policy, not only will we remember this decade for its militarism, but we will definitely remember this decade for its privatization of the military, the privatization of our foreign policy, going to war in part for oil, going to war in part for geostrategic reasons, like in Afghanistan, controlling potentially that pipeline route. I'm not saying that's the only reason we went to war in Iraq and Afghanistan,
right,
but it's one of the reasons, clearly one of the reasons. Hey, Barbara, thanks for the call. Thanks for bringing that up. Really appreciate it.
Thanks.
751 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Let's get a traffic update with John Turk.
Highway Drive looking pretty good for us around Denver and Boulder right now, Dave. A little busy in Aurora, southbound 225 from about Parker Road to 25. Do have a major situation down south. Northbound I-25 is closed just before Fountain due to a fatal rollover accident. One patient still trapped. Expect some serious delays. Backup's already extending 7 miles past the mile marker 115 rest areas. So if you're down there near Fountain in Colorado Springs, expect some pretty heavy delays. Crashes around town on the surface streets. Peoria, northbound side at Cornell. Also one at La Panne and Mississippi. That's just east of Santa Fe. Forecast today, cloudy and cool, a high of 43, evening snow after 7 o'clock. Small accumulation, though, in the overnight, anywhere from 2 to 8 inches total when the storm's over Wednesday evening. Right now it's 36 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Shop Kohl's last-minute gift sale going on now for all your last-minute gifts. Plus, you'll get $10 Kohl's cash for every $50 you spend. It's like getting paid to shop. The more you know, the more you Kohl's. Kohl's, expect great things.
Hey there, cool jacket.
Oh, thanks. My wife got it for me at REI. Perfect gift for days like this.
No kidding. Crisp winter air, lots of fresh snow, the sun is shining. Does it get any better than this?
Let's think about that for a minute. Yeah, no. This is pretty much the best thing ever.
Yeah.
Just how great can the great outdoors be? Find out. Guarantee your holiday happiness by giving great gifts from REI. Hurry into your local REI store or shop REI.com. REI. Find out.
With five times the selection, Jared is where to go for diamond jewelry this holiday.
That's Jared!
Jared, the Galleria of Jewelry, has literally hundreds of diamond bracelets, earrings, necklaces, and rings to choose from. Diamond solitaire earrings are always a great choice. At Jared, their extensive selection is priced from under $80 to $5,300 and includes their certified diamonds.
It can only be Jared!
Find a Jared store or shop anytime at Jared.com.
And so I would encourage anybody out there that has investments to look at the things that they could do in this last 7 days, because they could still do a Roth conversion if they're eligible, and that would be a great thing in 2009. They can still balance out their taxes. Like, people have a lot of gains from this year because it's been a pretty positive year for the market, and so maybe they can offset that with by taking some of the losses.
Yeah, the end of the year is so important, and Mike and I have been talking about this for the last couple of weeks, that people really have to take a look at their books. It's because there's a lot of tax stuff. There's a lot of IRA stuff, as you mentioned. Call the team at Presidential Brokerage, 303-694-1600, 303-694-1600. Just check in to ask them what you can do in these last few days of the year. Because, again, I've been an independent contractor. That's how I have organized myself tax-wise. And all of this stuff at the end of the year is really, really critical. 303-694-1600. 303-694-1600 for the team at Presidential Brokerage. Hey, Marla, thanks for the update. Appreciate it.
Have a great day, David.
You too.
Funded by debt collectors with phone calls and letters? Thinking of calling a debt relief company? Don't. Greedy lawyers and debt companies charge thousands. Why pay when you can get their solution absolutely free with New York Times best-selling author Herb Kay's number one debt secret, the how-to on stopping the calls without paying the debt companies. Yes, free for a very limited time. Here's Herb Kay.
Don't get ripped off by credit repair companies when I can give you the information you need to do it yourself for free.
Herb Kay was right. His free information helped me stop the calls and settle my debt.
What have you got to lose? Stop the calls now, get out of debt, and have more money. Get Herb Kay's number one debt secret absolutely free now. Call 888-352-7680. That's 888-352-7680. 888-352-7680.
Acceptance, respect, and the celebration of unconditional love. The cornerstones of Maple Star Foster Care. If you have the desire to provide a safe and healing home to a child during this giving season, become part of the Maple Star family at MapleStar.net.
Here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. After the national news, we're going to check in with the one, the only, Howard Dean about the health care bill. We're going to turn to health care in the 8 a.m. hour. A lot of news out there. The Senate passes its procedural vote to continue moving forward. There is some stories on the wire that I'll fill you in on about what the White House has done on the public option. A couple senators saying that the White House has not fought for the public option. And not just in a general way, but in a specific way. There's an allegation out there that the White House did not even log a phone call, a single phone call, to Joe Lieberman to ask him to consider voting for the public option. And I'm not just talking at the end here. I'm talking about the whole year here. And if that's true, it would be really, really disappointing. We'll talk to Howard Dean about that. He's one of the people saying the White House has not fought for the public option nearly strong enough. You can continue sending us at am760.net. Click over to the David Sirota page and send us instant messages about how you think the 2000s will be remembered. There's a couple of you are continuing to email in here with your ideas and with how you will remember this decade. I'm with you. I'm with most of you. I think it's going to be remembered as a very, very dark time. Here's an email here. The 2000s have been the decade of death of the American empire. We've stared dumbfounded at the burning of Rome, a decade of war, paranoia, and fear, economic upheaval, and the death of the middle class. The culmination of the failed experiment of Reaganomics. I couldn't agree more. And the question now, as we enter the 2010s, whatever you want to call them, is whether we are going to make a distinct turn away from that 30, 35-year experiment with Reaganomics. I sure hope so, and that's in part what the center of this healthcare debate, as just one example, is really all about. Speaking of healthcare, Howard Dean after the national news.
There's a lot of ways you can stay connected to us. You can listen to AM 760 on your iPhone, BlackBerry, and AM760.net.
Live streaming courtesy of Pianos and Pianos.
AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk, and AM760.net. Stay connected.
Hello?
Hello, Mrs. Cook. My name is... Hi, Mr. Taylor. I'm calling today. Mr. Hall, if I could just get a minute of your time.
Cold calling. If you're in sales or run a business, you know just how exhausting it can be to chase after new customers. But what if someone else could find them for you? Targeted leads based on your best customers. Now you can with Sales Genie, the leading provider of targeted sales leads. Tell us exactly who you want and we'll find them. To prove it, we'll help you find 100 new leads by industry, income, hobbies, whatever you're looking for. Yours for free. So you can keep cold calling, or you can make the one call that will count.
Hi, Sales Genie. I'm calling about how to get 100 free leads.
Certainly. Let me get your name.
Call Sales Genie today to find out how to get 100 free targeted leads. 1-800-600-9721. That's 1-800-600-9721. 1-800-600-9721.
The Left with AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk, KKZN, Thornton, Denver, Boulder, and AM760.net.
CBS News, I'm Frank Sedapani. A computer security expert with a thick resume is the new sheriff in town in cyberspace. Howard Schmidt is President Obama's choice to serve as the protector of critical systems that run everything from the power grid to the financial system. CBS News chief political consultant Mark Emden.
One of Schmidt's critical tasks will be to work with the Congress and with industry to try and help them form a consensus on legislation.
The Wall Street Journal is reporting the latest case of cybercrime, an attack by hackers who stole millions of dollars from Citibank. Citi disputes the report, but the journal's Siobhan Gorman says there's no question about the threat.
The real concern of cybersecurity experts is that not only will cybercriminals start to take large quantities of money, but they may also see fit to manipulate some of the data, and that could really wreak havoc on our financial system.
Mount Vernon, New York, industrialist Robert Blanchard says hackers stole more than $1 million from his Citibank account last summer. At first, he didn't know what to do about that.
There's no 911 for when you lose money like this. It's very hard to report. There's no mechanics, no wheels to put in motion quickly.
Blanchard says Citibank reimbursed his account. The economy grew less than previously reported in the third quarter of the year. The government puts business growth at 2.2% on an annual basis. But economist Mark Fitner says businesses have started to rebuild depleted inventories, and that's a good sign.
We're going to definitely end the year on a stronger note. It looks almost certain that we're going to have a very strong quarter at the end of the year.
The recession may be over, but the damage it inflicted on state unemployment funds could take years to repair.
I'm Larry Miller. 40 states will run out of unemployment compensation funds within 2 years and need a boost of $90 billion in federal loans to keep paying benefit checks. The Washington Post says this is putting pressure on states to either raise taxes or cut payments and eligibility. Unemployment benefits are supported by payroll taxes paid by employers, but states don't like raising these taxes, so available funds have dropped to unsustainable levels.
This is just in. Existing home sales posted a solid 7.4% increase in November. Less than a month after a gunman murdered four police officers in the Tacoma area, two sheriff's deputies have been critically wounded in a shootout with another gunman. A woman who was near the scene of last night's shooting watched as police cars responded.
It happened so close to, the four that had gotten killed not too long ago, and I can only imagine how those policemen must have felt when they heard their buddies were down.
A new study finds that more than 40% of the women with an immediate or high risk of breast cancer fail to get a recommended MRI screening. Dr. Wendy Berg is a specialist at Johns Hopkins.
This points to the need for having some alternatives. We know that MRI is a very sensitive test, but it appears that it's not very well tolerated by women.
The Dow Industrials are up more than 45 points in early Wall Street trading. This is CBS News.
Hey, that stack of money over there with the googly eyes, is that the money you could be saving with Geico?
It's the money I am saving with Geico. He helped me buy this pool table.
Nice. So what else does he do? Can he tell jokes?
Seriously, Kevin, he's a stack of money. He doesn't tell jokes. He just blinks and buys me stuff.
Oh, well, I just thought...
Money can't talk. That's ridiculous. Why do you always take it too far?
Me?
For a free rate quote, visit Geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
A wine is only as good as the vineyards it comes from. Now for Cabot, America's favorite Pinot Grigio, that means grapes grown in the foothills of Italy's Dolomite Alps. And while many great wines come from California, when it comes to Pinot Grigio, the best comes from Italy. There you'll find the perfect growing conditions for creating the award-winning Cabot Collection, where Cabot Pinot Grigio gets its crisp, light taste and full fruit flavors. So when you're looking for truly exceptional wine, choose the Cabot Collection.
The number one Italian wine in America, Cabot. Elevating life. Pompey International, Boca Raton, Florida.
I'm Jason Borgman with an AM 760 local news update.
Everybody looking for a white Christmas is pretty much almost guaranteed one across the Front Range, Colorado.
That's meteorologist Dave Bargenbrook with the National Weather Service. He says a winter weather advisory goes into effect tonight. Winter storm could bring us over 8 inches of snow over the next 2 days. Traveling will also be tough. Blizzard warnings are up for the eastern plains and parts of Kansas and Nebraska. The Weather Service saying that if you need to get there, you better leave today. Larimer County Sheriff's investigators say Richard Mayumi Heaney acted alone when they fabricated a story about their son floating off in a runaway balloon. The sheriff says the Heaneys might have had co-conspirators, but for now, investigators have no proof. The Heaneys have pleaded guilty to the hoax and are scheduled to be sentenced tomorrow. And IBM plans to add 500 employees to its Boulder campus. City officials say the workers will be hired locally and trained by IBM. Most jobs are customer service related. IBM has about 2,800 employees at its Boulder campus. And that's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News Update. I'm Jason Borgman. Now here's your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
That's where southbound 2 1/4 still a bit crowded as you're making that approach to Yosemite. Speeds are going to be running in the 40-mile-an-hour range, but that's about it for trouble spots around the metro. Volume is very light. A lot of people in holiday mode. If you're cruising up to the high country, I-70 dry and clear to and through Summit County. Heading out to DIA, security wait times less than 10 minutes. Now, some of those parking lots are starting to fill up, but for the time being, none of them are checking in at full capacity. Quick check on today's forecast. We've got a pretty good chance of seeing some snow, most likely late this afternoon. It's going to be a cloudy day with a high of 44. More snow in the overnight. By morning, we could see up to 4 inches around the Denver area. Currently 35 degrees. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Remember, at King Soopers, you get double fuel points when you buy gift cards. You'll find them for retailers like Home Depot and Best Buy, restaurants, theaters, and more. So give them as gifts or buy them for yourself and earn double fuel points. Get more value for the way you live at King Soopers.
The one thing I love about your show is you never throw me a softball.
David Sirota.
You're going to give me a hard question no matter what.
On AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
806 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk, going up to mid-40s today. It's gray out there. On the line with us now, as promised, Governor Howard Dean. Governor, thank you so much for taking the time this morning.
Thanks for having me on.
So, everybody who's listening has probably followed you or seen you in the last couple of weeks talking about health care and the negotiations over health care reform. You have been one of the people who have said that the Senate bill as it stands right now is not a real reform. And before we get into the details of that, what do you say to people who say to you, you're getting in the way of a bill that's going to pass, you're getting in the way of the administration, you're causing a problem, you're being unproductive, maybe you're even being quote-unquote disloyal? Because I've gotten that feedback in saying some of the same things you have. I imagine you've gotten much more of that feedback because you have a much bigger platform. What do you say to those people?
Well, David, I think we owe our loyalty to our country, not our party. I was the chairman of this party for 4 years, happy to do it. But my principal loyalty is to what's best for the United States of America. And so this idea that you're being disloyal to who? I believe that this bill is definitely not reform. There's no question about it. Now, it keeps getting better. They keep doing some more things to it to make the current system better. Overnight, they just agreed to increase reimbursement rates for rural primary care physicians. That was a huge problem. But doing things like that Well, it's a step in the right direction. And many of the things, the cost containment things that have gone in over the last week during this uproar over the public option not being in, are good things. But they are not reform. They are simply changing the system that we have. And the fundamental problem, which I don't really, actually I think the people who designed this bill do understand this, but they just don't want to admit it for political reasons, the public option is essential for real reform. We now are embarked on a 30-year fight with the insurance industry over regulation. The public option, or the Medicare expansion, which was a version of the public option, was a way of getting the things that we need to get through competition, not regulation, which is most people think is a lot more effective.
Again, on the line with us, Governor Howard Dean of Vermont, and I want to play you this clip. This was on MSNBC this morning. I'd like to hear what you have to say to it. This is John Harwood on MSNBC.
It was really hand-to-hand combat and hand-to-hand diplomacy, one vote at a time, finally securing the vote of Joe Lieberman by ditching that Medicare buy-in that he was against, and Ben Nelson with the abortion language. But I got to say, Contessa, just because so much of the commentary I've heard has been really idiotic, liberals who want universal health care ought to be thanking Harry Reid for getting this thing done rather than talking about what's inadequate in the bill. I'm not saying the bill is a good bill, but if you're a liberal and you want universal coverage in this country and think that you could do better, that Harry Reid can do better than what he's done or the White House can do better, they ought to lay off the hallucinogenic drugs, because we have had a vivid demonstration of the limits of political possibilities on this issue.
So is that true? I mean, to say, as you're saying, I mean, he's saying that this is the limits of the politically possible.
No, it's not true. And first of all, I like John Harwood. He's actually one of the few reporters I actually really respect. But he's wrong about this. And I do think one thing I think he said that I agree with is Harry Reid deserves a lot of credit. He really did everything he could to get the public option, and he's terrific. He and I were talking about twice a week during all this stuff, and he's done a great job. But there was a fundamental error made 5 or 6 months ago, which set us on this course, and that was not using reconciliation. David, the Democrats just aren't tough enough. We don't have to be mean like the Republicans can be, but you got to be tough, and they're not tough enough. If George Bush had been the president and wanted this bill the way he wanted it, it would have been signed in August, because they would have used the reconciliation process, the budget process. And then people will give you all these technical reasons why you can't do it. The fact is, you can do a Medicare expansion, plain and simple. You don't need insurance reform if you do a Medicare expansion. We could have done a Medicare expansion. We could have passed it with 51 votes. There would have been no problem. All of this angst could have been avoided, but they wouldn't do it because we're not simply tough enough.
Is it not tough enough? Because I know listeners out there are wondering this. Is it not political toughness? Or is it something different? Is it that some members of the Democratic Party, it's not that they don't have the guts, it's that they don't want to. It's that maybe they have a certain interest.
I think, David, we had the vote. Look, there were clearly the senators that were resisting this were in the pocket of the insurance industry. But I think we had the votes for this. And if Harry Reid had said, we're going to do this through reconciliation because the Republicans are going to make a spectacle out of this, which they have, we would have done it that way. And that was the right way to do it.
Then why wasn't it done that way?
Well, that's a very good question. I think, here's what I really think. Some of it has to do with insurance companies paying money to, you know, the campaigns and all that stuff. But I don't think that was the real reason, except for a handful of cases. I think the real reason is people inside the Beltway lose sight of the rest of the country very quickly. The culture in Washington is very different than it is everywhere else in the country. They're more concerned about their relationships with each other and the games that go on and who's in the gossip columns than they are, sometimes immediately, about what they're doing. And this time, at the end, they get concerned about what's going on in the rest of the country, but it's often too late. And this is a perfect example of that. If they had looked forward to see what was going to happen, and it was pretty obvious what was going to happen in terms of the Republican resistance and so forth, we would have done this. But they didn't want to risk problems in the Senate. They didn't want to risk relationships that they had. But George Bush never seemed to resist that when he had 56 votes to pass his tax cuts, which began this horrendous deficit problem. We don't see down the corridor far enough, and we don't act toughly enough when we do it. And again, you don't have to be unpleasant to be tough. I don't condone all the rhetoric that's gone on. even some of the rhetoric that I personally have used, I wouldn't use it today. But the fact is, you've got to be tough in your actions. We didn't see down the corridor far enough, and we weren't tough enough as a result.
Well, what's the president, in your mind, what's his culpability? Did he fight hard enough for the public option? Did he fight hard enough for reform in general?
I think he fought very, very hard for what he thinks is reform. I don't quite get the president on the public option stuff. It just doesn't seem like he thinks it's a small part of the bill. It's not a small part of the bill. It's the essence and the core of reform. And that's why I say this bill is not really reform. It's not even insurance reform. You know, we did real insurance reform up here 15 years ago. One of the fights that we've had with Senator Sanders and Senator Leahy and Representative Welch was to make sure that our reform didn't get undone, which there was some danger of. You can only charge people 20% more, your sickest people, than you can your healthiest people if you're an insurance company, and you have to take everybody. In the Senate bill, you can charge them three times as much. So explain to me how all this whoop-de-doo about pre-existing conditions is really reform when you can charge people who are older three times as much as people who are younger. They can't afford it. And if they can't afford it, how is it reform?
That's right. That's right. I completely agree. Again, on the line with us, Governor Howard Dean. He's been making headlines over the last couple of weeks about health care. Let me just unpack your argument a little bit about the public option, because we are hearing this a lot now, that, the public option, because it would only, in the current way that it was even being debated, would only initially cover or potentially cover up to 6 million people. If I hear what you're saying correctly, are you arguing that the public option would give us a tool in future years? We could expand it, we could make it more robust. That would be our tool to basically to control the excesses of the insurance industry.
That's exactly right, David. And in fact, I think some folks on the progressive side were surprised that I jumped on the almost compromise of Medicare expansion, bringing it down to 55 from 65. But the reason is, if you look down the road a long way, you realize that's a much more sensible system than starting your own insurance company and the Health and Human Services Agency, which has never run an insurance company before. And that was, in my view, even better than the public option, although it wasn't as comprehensive. If you're looking for real reform, look, we all know, we understand how this Congress and democracy works. You get reform incrementally. You really get the kind of huge reforms that we had under Lyndon Johnson and Franklin Roosevelt. You don't get presidents like that very often, and I couldn't stand Lyndon Johnson because of the war, but he was the last great president in my list of great presidents because of his extraordinary long-term effects, because he really did get reform. So I think what I was hoping for in this bill was, I knew that it was going to be mostly based in the private system, but because that's what the president had outlined, but what I was hoping for, that it was really going to be an opportunity to change the system. And now that's gone, and that's the tragedy of this. It's great that we have a bill that's going to cover 30 million people if we get to 2014 and still have the money left, which I have some doubts about. But the truth is, we chose, for political reasons, not because we intended to choose, to expand the system we already have. I think that's an enormous problem. That's a very bad economic problem for the United States. We're not competitive anymore because we have an employer-based system. And I knew we weren't going to change that because 65% of Americans like their employer-based system, and a lot of employers like it too. So that was not going to be on the table for change. We were never going to suddenly switch to a single payer. That wasn't going to happen. But the idea was to have concurrently two systems or three systems that work, which we did. We have a socialized system, which is the Veterans Administration, by the way, the number one rated system of any system in the country by its patients, including all the private systems. We have a single payer, which is Medicare. And then we have the private system, which is by far the biggest. So my hope was that we would expand both those and give Americans the choice between those so they could reform the system. I was pretty sure Congress wasn't really going to reform health care, and they haven't. But what I was hoping for was that the American people would be able to reform health care as they have, or beginning to now in Massachusetts. And there is some hope. Massachusetts, for example, is about to embark on an attempt to get rid of fee-for-service medicine. Now, that's a very positive, big-time reform. They got forced into it because they put in something like we're about to put in for the rest of the country, and, of course, they couldn't sustain it financially, and they got to deal with that now. So this is very, very complex stuff. But if you say there is reform in this bill,
There really isn't much of it.
What do you say to the senators? Senator Tom Harkin's out there today saying that that they might revisit some of the problems in the current bill, and even potentially after this bill is passed, if it's passed this way without a public option, that the Senate may come back to try to add a public option later. Do you believe that? And is there things we can do to ensure that?
Well, I don't think Tom will be in the Senate by the time they do it. But Tom Harkin is one, the person who I think is one of the greatest senators in the Senate. So, you know, I just think he's wonderful. And I believe me, he would have had much more than a public option if he could have. So I do think the Senate will revisit the bill from time to time. They'll have to, because this is not reform, and there's very little cost control in here, even though what there is has been improved over the last week or so. But I think it's going to be we're not going to be around when they start to think about the public option, or we certainly aren't going to be in the Senate.
Governor Howard Dean, the former governor of Vermont, thank you so much for taking the time this morning, and thank you really for speaking your mind. It's really an inspiration to a lot of us.
My pleasure. I don't want to leave on a pessimistic note. We just got to keep fighting for real reform, but we can't pretend something is reform when it's not. I know all the politicians in Washington, including the president, are going to want to say this is real reform. It isn't, but that doesn't mean we've lost. You know, it is a small advance of the ball down the field. It's a very expensive small advance. My wife said, there is some good in this bill. It's just unbelievably expensive for the good that you get, and that's true. But we're going to continue to push this reform effort very, very hard, and I think it will be positive that a lot of people are hopefully insured. And when it doesn't work right, which it won't, we'll be able to push even harder for what we really need to have in this country.
Well, and as I've written a piece up on Open Left about how, you know, if this bill has to pass this way, the more progressives who are saying exactly what you're saying are laying down the benchmarks for continuing the fight, for continuing to make this better ultimately, that if this just passes with nobody saying what you're saying, then everyone will think that it is full-on real, quote-unquote, reform, when in fact we need to be laying down again those benchmarks. So really,
the American people aren't fooled. They don't think this is real reform. They're glad it's going to pass, but they don't think it's real reform. And it is, and as usual, they're right.
Yeah, that's right. And you can find Governor Dean's website, www.democracyforamerica.com. Governor, thank you so much.
Not my website.
Oh, well, it's
my
right.
Website.
That's right. Democracy for America. Your brother Jim, who's been on this show. That's right.
Right.
Thanks so much.
Thanks.
I really appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
That was Governor Howard Dean. What'd you think about that? He's saying that it's not disloyal. It's not disloyal at all to stand up and say that this Senate bill is not acceptable. Do you think he's right or wrong? You heard him make the case. So we'll go back into it, folks. Vote for the bill or vote against the bill. After the break, we'll get into it. I'll fill you in on all the news, all the accusations flying around about health care today. There are a lot of them. And I will let you in on, I was asked to do something a big opportunity tomorrow that I was asked to do. I'm going to give you a sneak preview of it. I was asked to speak on this issue in one of the largest national forums in the United States. It was a surprise to me. I got the call yesterday. I'll fill you in on what that's going to be and what I'm going to say about health care and whether the Senate should vote this through. Also, Michael Bennett, our senator, making his statement on the bill. We've got audio from that. You'll hear what he has to say and which way he's going to vote after a traffic update with John Turk.
Dave, still got that problem down near Fountain, northbound I-25, shut down just before Fountain due to a serious rollover accident. 7-mile backups around there. So if you're trying to get in between Pueblo and Colorado Springs, going to be hard going for you this morning. Around Denver, normal jams on 225 southbound side, Mississippi to Iliff again from Yosemite to 25. No problems on I-25 in Denver right now. Things looking like they're in the 50s and maybe 60s. Eastbound 36 a little behind Federal to Broadway. Also, if you're traveling out to DIA, Pikes Peak shuttle lot now full. The rest of the lots have spaces available. Security wait time just about 10 minutes. Forecast mostly cloudy and cooler, highs in low 40s. Snow after 7 p.m. with about 1 to 3 inches in the overnight. 4 to 8 inches total after Wednesday's over. Our current downtown temperature, 37 degrees. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Chuck, you switched your old synthetic oil for Castrol Edge. That's thinking with your dipstick. You like that Castrol Edge has 8 times better wear protection than Mobil 1. That's thinking with your dipstick. You enter a 15-round cage match against Smasher.
Mommy!
That's not thinking with your dipstick. Think with your dipstick. Upgrade to Castrol Edge. It's more than just oil. It's liquid engineering. Learn more at yourdipstick.com.
5W30s tested in industry standard sequence 4A wear test.
Quality of life. You can call right now for one free bottle of Beta Prostate. You only pay shipping and handling. Call 1-800-394-6545. 1-800-394-6545. That's 1-800-394-6545.
Hi, I'm Sandra, co-founder of Discovery Outsourcing, a Denver-based professional employer organization. Discovery handles details of your workforce like human resources, payroll, and health insurance. Our large group healthcare plan is healthcare reform for small businesses today. If you have between 8 and 200 employees, find out how we can help.
Call Sandra at Discovery Outsourcing, 303-868-5257, or go to discoveryoutsourcing.com. That's discoveryoutsourcing.com.
Do you have dark circles and bags under your eyes but can't find a product that works? Then stay tuned, because the next 60 seconds will change everything. Hydralyze is a proven breakthrough that has shown amazing results in people with dark circles and under-eye puffiness due to aging, fatigue, even heredity. And for a limited time, we're looking for 100 women in this listening area to try it free. Just call 1-800-600-2125. The first 100 callers are guaranteed a risk-free trial. So call now. If lines are busy, try again. The proven ingredients in Hydralyze help erase the appearance of bags and dark circles. The results are so impressive, women who've tried it say it's life-changing. And now it's being offered free to this station's first 100 callers. Hydralyze is not available in stores, so call immediately to see if you're one of the first 100 callers. And try it before you buy it. Phone lines are open now. Call 1-800-600-2125 for your free trial. 1-800-600-2125.
Is your marriage in trouble? Has your spouse told you they're not in love with you anymore? Has there been an affair? Are you even considering separation or divorce? There is hope. I'm Dr. Joseph Melnick. As a husband for 40 years and a couples therapist for 25, I believe most marriages can be fixed. That's why I created the US Factor, the program you can use to save your marriage in the privacy of your home. The US Factor shows you how to fix what's wrong in your marriage. Lack of communication, constant arguing, even painful affairs. You won't have to dredge up old arguments. Instead, you'll learn to use simple, powerful techniques that can change your marriage immediately. No one teaches you what to do when your marriage gets really tough, but I will in the US Factor.
Call now for a confidential risk-free trial. 1-800-476-8356. 1-800-476-8356. See a difference in your marriage in 30 days. 1-800-476-8356. 1-800-476-8356.
Ebenezer Scrooge in A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens was not a millionaire. He was the middle class. Saying to Bob Cratchit, the working poor,
may we please have a lump of coal? My hands are cold.
No, you may not.
May we please have healthcare for Tiny Tim?
No, you may not. It'll cost me an extra pence.
And that was really a problem for Scrooge, because he was the squeezed middle class. He was just a shop owner.
Tom Hartman, weekdays at 1.
And that's the direction the libertarians and conservatives have taken us over the last 30 years.
On AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Hey, 26 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. You just heard Howard Dean say that it is not being disloyal to anybody, to the president, to the Democratic Party, by saying that the Senate bill is not real reform. It is being loyal to country. It is being loyal to country. I couldn't agree more. I know some of you disagree, based on your nasty emails to me saying that people who are raising objections to this are self-serving. I got on my Twitter feed a number of people saying that that me and Governor Dean and Jane Hampshire of Fire Dog Lake, who have spoken out against this bill, were in it for our own private profit, which is really ridiculous. Because I'll tell you one thing. Speaking out against a health insurance bill as opposed to speaking out for it is not exactly a lucrative proposition, right? When you look at the how lobbyists have made $3.3 billion, billion with a B, it's a lot more lucrative to shill for corporate interests than to oppose shilling for corporate interests. And I think Dean was right, saying that it's not disloyal to say that this bill is not acceptable. What do you think? 303-713-7600. Is speaking out about the Senate bill right now unproductive, counterproductive, or productive? Is it disloyal to President Obama? 303-713-7600. I've got some big news to let you in on right here and right now. I was asked to write the official opposing view tomorrow for tomorrow's USA Today. They are going to endorse passing the Senate bill, and they asked me to write the opposing view. And so I have written, I am writing the opposing view right now, saying that it is not worth it to pass this bill. The Senate should vote no, that the whole argument that they have to pass it now because this is our last chance is a lot of nonsense. It's a manufactured canard. It's a manufactured assumption. Do you think this is our last chance? Do you disagree with me? Let's talk about it. 303-713-7600. I think the Democrats have bought in so much to passing anything. And I quote, I'm going to quote in this piece. I'm going to quote the Democrats saying they just want to pass anything. They just want to pass anything. And I think the fact that they have said that means that that if this bill went down, they would have to come back to the drawing board. They wouldn't just walk away like they did in 1994. Now, one person who disagrees with me is Senator Michael Bennett. Senator Michael Bennett was on the floor. Our Colorado senator was on the floor of the Senate yesterday explaining his vote. He is going to vote yes. He said he was a reluctant vote. And I want to play you a clip of his floor speech. It runs about 3.5 minutes long. Here is Michael Bennett on the floor of the Senate talking about his health care vote.
So it's fair to say, Mr. President, that I didn't come to Washington with a partisan axe to grind. As is probably obvious to everyone around here, for good or for ill, I'm not a career politician. I didn't come here to win political points so that someone else could lose. I'm not interested in that. I'm here as the father of three little girls with an abiding concern that we are at risk of being the first generation of Americans to leave less opportunity to our kids and our grandkids than our parents and grandparents left us. That prospect is shameful. Mr. President, we are not the only Americans who have been working weekends and late into the night recently. There are people in small towns and big cities all across America doing jobs much harder than ours who are taking an extra shift before Christmas so they can afford that extra gift beneath the tree. Americans who are unemployed in this savage economy and still trying to make sure the kids know Santa remembered them. These same people are reading their papers and watching their televisions, wondering what in the world we're doing here in Washington. All they see are talking heads yelling at each other on cable news, needless partisanship paralyzing their government, and even people praying that senators won't be able to make votes. I'm not naive about politics, but I expected more. I will vote for health care reform because it's a step in the right direction. But I will not go home and defend the actions of a Washington that's out of touch, a Washington that is more interested in scoring political points, more interested in the 278 health care lobbyists who used to work for members of Congress than it is in what our constituents have to say, a Washington that is more concerned with the millions being spent by big insurance companies than the thousands of dollars being lost by working families who are struggling to pay for coverage. Columnists opposed to reform have criticized me for saying that I'm willing to lose my seat to enact meaningful health care reform. Now I'm being asked why I didn't negotiate a special deal with leadership. In fact, there was a report this morning criticizing me because the National Republican Campaign Committee was rejoicing that I didn't ask for special favors. Only in Washington would someone be attacked for not negotiating a backroom deal, and just because others choose to engage in the same tired Washington rituals doesn't mean that I have to. So I have a message for the columnists, the political professionals, and those back home. I'm not happy about the backroom deals. I'm not happy that the public option was held hostage by people in our own party. I do not support rewarding delay with special deals. I'll let others justify their vote and their tactics. As for me, I'm voting to provide coverage to 840,000 uninsured Coloradans, voting to extend Medicare for our seniors and provide free preventative care for everyone, voting to close the prescription drug loophole and provide tax cuts to small business, voting to make health care more affordable and eliminate exclusions based on pre-existing conditions, voting for health care reform that is fully paid for. The people in my state and in our country deserve better than a politics that cares more about lobbyists and talk show hosts than the people we represent. I am committed to delivering on that, despite what the political experts have to say. And in the end, when the dust settles and the stories focus more on substance than process, I'm confident that Coloradans will see it the same way. I also commit to the people of Colorado and the people of this chamber that I will do everything I can to make sure this bill really is fully paid for. It's why I introduced an amendment that will ensure that health care will pay down the deficit by forcing Congress to make adjustments if reform doesn't meet the cost estimates we have projected. I urge my colleagues and the leadership in the Senate to see to it that this amendment is included in the conference report. If not, I will fight to get it passed on its own.
So that was Senator Michael Bennett justifying his vote for the bill. I agree with a lot of what he said. And by the way, for folks who are on, Michael Bennett's going to have a Democratic primary, and when we have Michael Bennett on, when we play a clip from him, a lot of people ask, well, what about Andrew Romanoff, his primary challenger? We are scheduled to have Andrew Romanoff on our show on Thursday. I'm sure we will talk to him about health care. That's Thursday at 7:20. And the question is whether you agree with Michael Bennett, whether you agree with Howard Dean. They are saying two different things. Howard Dean, you just heard him say that it is loyal to country to stand up and say this bill is not acceptable. You hear Michael Bennett say this bill, a lot of the things in this bill are not acceptable, but he's going to vote for it. We're getting some instant messages here. Here's from Kevin in Chicago. I don't understand why you don't want the Senate to pass the bill just to get it into conference. Then, if it can't be approved, let it die there. I mean, isn't there the possibility Congress can actually surprise the nation by putting some real reform into the final bill? Well, yeah, sure, there's the possibility, but I'll say two things about that. It's less possible for that to happen in the conference committee if there aren't people like Howard Dean saying that this is unacceptable and it should be voted down right now. The harder it is on the progressive side for the Democrats to pass this over progressive opposition, the more likely they will try to mollify progressive opposition in the conference committee. The second thing I will say is if you are hoping for great things to come out of the conference committee, the story on the wire today is that the Joe Liebermans and the Ben Nelsons, the conservative Democrats, are saying that there better not be anything better put into the bill or they will scuttle the conference bill when it comes back to the Senate. The third thing I would say about a conference report, and I say this as somebody who has worked on Capitol Hill, it is a rule of thumb that bills only get worse from a progressive perspective when they go into the conference committee, because the conference committee is often conducted behind closed doors. You ask most lobbyists in Washington, D.C., where they wield the most power, and it is in those closed-door conference committee negotiations. So I don't have a lot of hope that a huge amount of change, a public option, for instance, considering all of that is going to come out of a conference committee. Kevin, I know you've asked that question. You can ask us any questions at am760.net. Click over to the David Sirota page. After the break, we're going to take your call. Your calls will open up the AM760 Progressive Dojo, asking the question, is Howard Dean loyal or disloyal by saying that the Senate bill is unacceptable? Is Michael Bennett right or wrong? Our senator, you just heard him, rip on the bill, rip on some of the substance of the bill, but saying, I'm going to vote for it because it's a small step forward, and that's what we need to do. Where do you come down? 303-713-7600. We'll take all your calls after a traffic update with John Turk.
Thank you, Dave. Still slow going in Colorado Springs. Northbound I-25 shut down. Accident investigation. Traffic being diverted into the area. No estimated time of reopen. Really slow. About 7 mile backups as you approach Fountain on the northbound side of I-25. So getting from Pueblo to Colorado Springs is going to take you some time this morning. Back around Denver. Denver. Normal jams on 25 coming into downtown on the southbound side, but volumes are really, really light for us this morning. Might see some increased traffic out on Peña Boulevard heading to the airport. Pike's Peak Shuttle Lot is the only lot that's full right now. The rest of the lots do have some spaces for you. And wait time, just about 10 minutes. Forecast today, cloudy and cool, a high of 43. Evening snow after 7 o'clock with small accumulation in the overnight. Anywhere from 2 to 8 inches when this storm is over on Wednesday. Right now, we're at 37 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Cheaper, better, faster. Denver International Airport has the most parking at the best prices for your travel needs. No coupons. Visit flydenver.com or call 303-DIA-PARK for more information.
If you like listening to music on your computer, listen to this. Now you can hear all your iTunes playlists, internet radio stations, sports, and more in a different room with the new Bose Wave Music System SoundLink. No need to run wires. A small USB plug-in sends audio wirelessly from your computer to the system. This compact system plays CDs and AM/FM radio too, and it sounds much bigger than its size. The Wave Music System now plays music from your computer wirelessly. Check it out. It's only from Bose.
Looking for a smart buy and a new best-in-class automobile? Then look at the Chevy Malibu. For the money, there just isn't a better choice. And for a dealer to buy it from, there isn't a better choice than Purefoy Chevrolet. Find us at DenverMalibu.com or MalibuDenver.com. Any way you spell it, it's PurefoyChevrolet.com.
Surround her with the strength of your love with the Love's Embrace collection, now at Jared.
That's Jared.
Jared is proud to present the new Love's Embrace collection, diamonds in a design created to capture the comfort found in each other's arms. This holiday, there is surely no more romantic gift. Available as necklaces, rings, or earrings, starting at just $79.99. At Jared, the Galleria of Jewelry.
It can only be Jared.
Find a Jared store or shop anytime at Jared.com.
Regular weight loss program or with special prepared foods, you are not eligible for this free program. Again, if you are trying to lose over 20 pounds, are 18 or over, and are currently not using any other diet program, you are eligible to participate in the free weight loss trial. Results are guaranteed. If you don't see results, you don't pay for the trial. To experience the 14-day slim down for free, call 1-800-600-0807. You must call within the next 24 hours. 1-800-600-0807.
You want to create more power and greatness for your life and career. Are you ready to transform your way of thinking and explore the mysteries of your mind? Then catch the Inevitable Radio Show Saturdays at 8 a.m. right here on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Stop before you dig. If you're about ready to do a sewer repair or replacement, call Drain Solvers, part of the Tom Martino Troubleshooter Network. Show your bid. Drain Solvers are usually between $500 and $1,000 less than the competition. It's a screaming deal. Everything is done to code with a lifetime warranty on any repairs or replacements. Drain Solvers, 303-423-1000. 303-423-1000.
Which GPS gives you the easiest way to get to any address? Only TomTom. With just a few taps of the screen, TomTom quickly finds the most efficient route and guides you there with clear spoken directions. TomTom, go confidently.
In the market for a new home? Need advice on buying, selling, or financing? The Open House Show with hosts Brad Wilson and Lou Tornambi answers all your real estate questions. Tune in Saturday afternoons at 12:30, right here on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Mortgages should be illegal because you're getting robbed every month. With a typical $200,000 30-year mortgage, you'll end up paying over $400,000 after interest. Hi, I'm John Commuta, creator of the Transforming Debt into Wealth system. My proven system can eliminate your mortgage and all your debts. Let me send you a powerful free CD. For your free CD, call 1-800-300-4662. 1-800-300-4662. 1-800-300-4662.
So you just heard Howard Dean on our show saying that it's not disloyal to anybody, it's loyal to country to stand up and say that this Senate bill is not real reform. Then you heard Michael Bennett, our senator, stand up on the floor of the Senate and agree with Howard Dean on some of the substance, saying that the way the bill was written and a lot of the giveaways in the bill, the cutting out of the public option is unacceptable, but Bennett's saying he's going to vote for it because it represents, in his mind, a small step forward.
Who do you think is right? 303-713-7600. You can instant message us, am760.net. Click over to the David Sirota page. Also, on the David Sirota page today over at am760.net, our must-read of the day, it's from Drew Weston, the famed political scientist, a big Obama backer. He has a new article on the Huffington Post. He's the author of The Political Brain. He's got a new article on the Huffington Post about President Obama's first year. I'll let you read it there. It's definitely a must read. It's a lengthier piece, but it's definitely worth the read at the end of this year. So who do you think's right? Howard Dean or the people who say Howard Dean is being disloyal to country, disloyal to party? Heidi in Boulder. Heidi, you're on AM 760. Hello, Heidi.
Hi, Dave. This is Heidi Kupari, and I just wanted to say I was working on Howard Dean's campaign. I was deputy director of the New York State campaign with Ethan Ghetto, and I have to say that when I first heard him speak, I quit my corporate job. I was running a consumer product company, quit it, and joined his campaign because I had never heard somebody just tell it like it is and stand up for what's right. He is so consistent. He is always putting the people first. And somebody who's always putting the people first is right on. And I want to give Howard Dean so much credit for standing his ground and standing up for what he believes is right. This is our last chance. We cannot let this thing pass without a public option. It is, of course, they're not going to deny people on pre-existing conditions. They're going to have 30 million new customers. It's BS, this other stuff. And so it needs to be a public option. In fact, it should be Medicare for all. But if we're going to do anything, we have to stand behind Howard. You have to write in USA Today this opposing view because we have to stand our ground. Nobody's left fighting for the people anymore.
Well, and you know, there's this there's two strains of this that are I think pushing back on Howard Dean, on Jane Hampshire from Fire Dog Lake, who's put out this top 10 reasons why to vote against this bill, which I'll let people in on after the next break. And I've gotten a lot of hate mail for saying that the Senate bill is not acceptable. There's two strains of it. I mean, there's obviously the insurance industry. I mean, I was appalled, by the way, yesterday, and I forgot to mention this. Yesterday, Barack Obama said that the passage of the Senate bill is a victory over the special interests who are supposedly furiously lobbying against the current Senate bill. I mean, that's just a lie. That's just not true. The insurance industry, one insurance industry insider emailed reporters after the introduction of the Senate bill saying, quote unquote, "We win." The American Health Insurance Plans, the lobbying group for the health insurance industry, has stopped lobbying, has suddenly gone silent. The drug industry is not lobbying against this bill. There was a Chicago Tribune report about how those industries have spent $630 million in lobbying in the last 2 years to help write this bill. So the idea that this bill represents a victory over the special interests is ridiculous. So obviously the special interests want this bill. And the other people who are pushing back on Howard Dean are some people who are loyal to President Obama who say that Howard Dean and the people speaking out against this bill are being disloyal. And I agree with you, Heidi.
See, this thing about loyalty, this is like a Bushism, this loyalty thing. Why are Democrats using this?
I'm glad you bring that up because that is a point that a lot of people haven't thought about. That we used to criticize the Republicans for never questioning President Bush. And I think you've got a strain of the Democratic Party, the activist class, that never questions Barack Obama. But even worse, it's one thing to give the benefit of the doubt to the president, but to really viciously criticize people like Howard Dean and people saying this Senate bill is not okay. I mean, I tell you something, right in my email box and on my own Twitter feed, right, which you can find at twitter.com/David Sirota, people have accused me of somehow I'm standing up against the Senate bill. Somehow that means that I'm making money off of standing up against the Senate bill. I mean, this is the kind of vicious nastiness that is really, I think, counterproductive. And I agree with you and I agree with Howard Dean. It's loyal to country to stand up when something is not right. Heidi, thanks so much for the call. Let's go to Jim in Lakewood. Jim, you're on AM 760.
How you doing?
Good.
Listen, I don't think we can expect any more out of the conference committee, and this is a stretch, than getting rid of the individual mandate.
I think that's right.
And that would be an absolute stretch, because the insurance industry has paid for the individual mandate by giving up their $18 to $20 billion a year in Medicare Advantage.
I think that's absolutely right.
And everybody, people keep talking about deals being made. The real deal, I think, in this is to save Medicare. That's why Obama, when he was on the TV last week, talked about if we don't pass this, we're going bankrupt.
Mm-hmm.
He's talking about the federal government going bankrupt.
Yeah.
He's not talking about you and I. You and I can go bankrupt all day long,
right.
Because this bill is going to drive us. I run a small business that provides health insurance, and we've talked before. And this bill is going to drive me bankrupt. I'm sorry. The health insurance is going to drive us bankrupt.
Well, and that's one of Jane Hampshire's top 10, in her top 10 list of why to vote against this bill. They've got a post up. You should go to firedoglake.com.
I've seen it, yeah.
Yeah, and the number one reason she cites is, and it's all documented, folks, and we'll post a link to this on our website at am760.net.
Beautifully documented.
The cost of medical care will continue to rise, and insurance premiums for a family of four will rise an average of $1,000 a year, meaning in 10 years, your family's insurance premium will be $10,000 more annually than it is right now. That's what this bill is. That's the absolute verifiable facts, and I think that you can, and I want to be clear, that I think we can have a respectful disagreement about the process. Some people say, well, I agree with that, but this is a small step forward. And some people say, well, I cite this, and I think we got to kill the bill, Ryan. We can have a disagreement about the legislative process, but I don't think we should have a disagreement about the actual facts. And that is the facts. And we can continue to disagree, and people can say Howard Dean is wrong to be getting involved in the process of whether this particular bill should pass or not. But I think it's wrong to call Howard Dean disloyal and call the people who say this Senate bill is not acceptable disloyal, when in fact they are standing up for what they believe in. And I think we need more of that in this country, not less. Hey, Jim, thanks for the call. 850 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. After a traffic update with John Turk, I'll fill you in on that top 10 list making the rounds on the Internet, going viral, about what's wrong with the Senate bill and why to vote against it. Let's get a traffic update with Turk.
Dave, doesn't look like there's any problems on the freeways around town. Accident-free on the freeway systems. No problems on the turnpike in between Boulder and Denver. Things in the 50s and 60s there. Same deal on I-70 between the airport and downtown. No problems in the elevated portion. Got a disabled car, though, 26th in Colorado. That's the only blip on the radar right now. Also, going to see that out of DIA, Pikes Peak shuttle lot is full. The rest of them still have some spots. But security wait time, just about 10 minutes. The forecast today, mostly cloudy. Going to be cooler than yesterday. Highs in the low 40s. Snow after 7 p.m. with about 1 to 3 inches in the overnight. 4 to 8 inches total when the system's done. Our current downtown temperature, 38 degrees. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Colorado taxpayers, get your 50% tax credit. Donate at ColoradoTaxCreditNow.com. Helps Colorado's kids with Catholic Charities Foster and Child Care. Claim your 50% tax credit beyond the standard deduction at ColoradoTaxCreditNow.com. That's ColoradoTaxCreditNow.com.
Hey there, cool jacket.
Oh, thanks. My wife got it for me at REI. Perfect gift for days like this.
No kidding. Crisp winter air, lots of fresh snow, the sun is shining. Does it get any better than this?
Let's think about that for a minute. Yeah, no,
it doesn't.
This is pretty much best thing ever.
Yeah.
Just how great can the great outdoors be? Find out. Guarantee your holiday happiness by giving great gifts from REI. Hurry into your local REI store or shop REI.com. REI. Find out.
Kevin Richards is sending his identity out shopping.
Okay, you're going to go get me some new golf clubs. Are you sure you can handle this?
Yeah, I'm sure. No problem.
Now remember, you go directly to the retailers, and you don't talk to the strangers.
Right. Go directly to the strangers, don't talk to the retailers.
No. Listen. You go to the retailers, you talk to them.
And if I meet a stranger, I give him all the information.
No, I'll... Ugh.
Wondering where your identity goes? It's time to get total protection from Identity Guard. You'll get the kind of protection and information that helps you keep track of what your identity is up to 24/7. And should anything happen, Identity Guard is there with $1 million of loss reimbursement insurance and a professional response team. It's protection no matter where your identity goes. Identity Guard, making it okay to trust again.
Hey, wait, wait. What if the stranger wants to sell me something?
Oh my, no strangers!
Visit identityguard.com today. That's identityguard.com.
One.
8:53 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. In the 9 a.m. hour, we're going to check in with Media Matters for their Misinformer of the Year. See if you can guess who that is. That's in the 9 a.m. hour. Also, we're going to check in with the one Democratic U.S. Senator who voted against Ben Bernanke and his renomination in the Banking Committee. A very courageous Democrat, a really good guy that I like very much. That's at 9:30. We're going to get back to the phones now. Is Howard Dean right or wrong? Is he being disloyal or not disloyal by saying that this bill in the Senate is not real reform? Is Michael Bennett right for going to the Senate floor? We played a clip of him on the Senate floor acknowledging many of the discrepancies and dysfunctions of this bill and saying, though, he's going to vote for it because it moves the ball forward a little bit. Who's right? Who's wrong? We're going to post on our website, am760.net, the top 10 list making its way around the Internet right now from firedoglake.com. Their reasons to vote against the Senate bill. I'll read a couple of them to you. Very well documented. Now, the bill forces you to pay up to 8% of your income to private insurance corporations, whether you want to or not. If you refuse to buy the insurance, you'll have to pay penalties of up to 2% of your annual income. After being forced to pay thousands in premiums for junk insurance, you can still be on the hook for up to $11,900 a year in out-of-pocket medical expenses. Many of the taxes to pay for the bill start now, but most Americans won't see any benefits like an end to discrimination against those with pre-existing conditions until 2014. Allows insurance companies to charge people who are older 300% more than others. We will post a link to this at am760.net. We'll get back to the phones now here at 8:54 on AM760 Progressive Talk. Let's go to Elaine in Arvada. Elaine, you're on AM760.
Good morning, David.
Morning.
This is not health care reform. I fully agree with Governor Dean. This is the art of compromise from Harry and Barry. You grovel, you beg, you cave. I'm so disappointed.
Well, I'm disappointed, too, and I think that that Harry Reid taking reconciliation, and for those who don't know what that is, that would allow the Senate to pass a stronger bill with just 51 votes. Harry Reid taking it off the table. Really, I think, it was a really, really big mistake. And, you know, we're hearing a lot now, Elaine, about this idea that if we just pass anything, we can improve it later. And there's a post up I'm reading here, and I'll link to this also on our website at am760.net, over at Fire Dog Lake, warning to pass the anything camp. Reforms don't always get better over time. Arianna Huffington, she cites how the No Child Left Behind Act hasn't been improved. Other folks cite how the Great Society programs have only gotten worse over time. So I don't know about you, but I don't buy this whole idea that we're just going to, it's automatically going to be fixed, all the discrepancies and deficiencies of this bill.
No, I mean, if they've poured this much money into it already, they'll pour a lot more to keep it, you know, if it's really that much of a windfall for the insurance companies and big pharma.
That's right. And you know, Dean makes the point, too. He makes that point that this is going to not just financially strengthen the insurance industry, but in financially strengthening the insurance industry, making the insurance industry more central to everybody's lives, it will politically strengthen the insurance industry. So we are setting ourselves on a path for 30 years of fighting with an even more powerful insurance industry. Elaine, thanks for the call. Jerry in Boynton Beach, Florida. Hey, Jerry, how you doing?
Hey there, David. I've been following you on Twitter about this through this whole thing, and as I always say, hoy veamos. You know, I turned around the day of the vote because I thought of that quote everybody keeps quoting about, is Obama playing chess while we're playing checkers? And I keep focusing on the 2010 elections, and it occurred to me this can be made into exactly what progressives really want via amendments like every other bill. And it can be done now by the Teflon-coated representatives who have nothing to fear in the next election. And we can, our party can, you know, still be hailed for doing this. And the ones that have something to lose or who are at risk of losing in the next election can claim, hey, I didn't do anything.
Well, I think there might be something to it. I mean, there's two things with that real quickly, which is that I don't usually trust when politicians say, hey, I've got a super secret plan that I'm actually going to do what you want me to do. I'm just playing a 15-dimensional game of chess. I also think, look, we saw them try to amend this bill and make it better right on the Senate floor. They voted down importation, drug importation. They voted down a series of really strong amendments. And the question is, would they even come back to have those fights again? Believe me, the Democratic Party does not want to have those fights again. It's going to be up to us right now to force them in the future to have those fights. Hey, Jerry, thanks so much for the call. All right, stick around. Media Matters after the break.
Mario Solis Marriage.
Today on the Mario Solis Marriage Show, Ford offers a buyout to every single one of its hourly workers. We'll take your calls. Y mucho más.
Today at 4 on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Do you have dark circles and bags under your eyes but can't find a product that works? Then stay tuned, because the next 60 seconds will change everything. Hydralyze is a proven breakthrough that has shown amazing results in people with dark circles and under-eye puffiness due to aging, fatigue, even heredity. And for a limited time, we're looking for 100 women in this listening area to try it free. Just call 1-800-600-2125. The first 100 callers are guaranteed a risk-free trial. So call now. If lines are busy, try again. The proven ingredients in Hydralyze help erase the appearance of bags and dark circles. The results are so impressive, women who've tried it say it's life-changing. And now it's being offered free to this station's first 100 callers. Hydralyze is not available in stores, so call immediately to see if you're one of the first 100 callers and try it before you buy it. Phone lines are open now. Call 1-800-600-2125 for your free trial. 1-800-600-2125.
AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. KKZN, Thornton, Denver, Boulder. On your iPhone, BlackBerry, and AM760.net.
CBS News, I'm Nick Young. Two new measures of how well the economy is responding. From the National Association of Realtors, home resale numbers for last month showing a jump of nearly 7.5%. That's far higher than economists have been expecting, and a 44% rise over a year ago. And the home price skid has slowed, says economist Diane Swank.
The pace of decline in housing prices is continuing to slow. We still haven't hit a bottom yet, but we're on track to hit a bottom, and we could even see increases in home prices by the end of 2010.
And from the Commerce Department, a 2.2% increase in the gross domestic product. That's lower than originally predicted, but economist Mark Vintner says it points to even better days.
The report would tend to suggest that the fourth quarter number is going to be very strong. We saw a bigger drop in inventories, and that's going to set us up for a huge swing in inventories in the fourth quarter.
Citibank denies it, but a published report says a gang of Russian cyber hackers managed to steal tens of millions of dollars from various accounts. Siobhan Gorman was involved in reporting the story for the Wall Street Journal.
Russia has sort of a long history of computer savviness dating back to the 90s, and some of those people have gone into legitimate businesses and a lot of them haven't, and just the government's general lack of willingness to crack down has made it kind of a haven for a lot of hackers.
One of the accounts that was hit belonged to New York businessman Robert Blanchard. His loss to the thieves, more than $1 million.
There are so many losses occurring that they need some help, and that kind of help can only be put on by government organizations.
Well, the Obama administration has taken a step it hopes will improve overall computer network security inside and outside of government. The president has named Howard Schmidt as his cyber czar. Healthcare reform is inching its way toward passage in the Senate, but as CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss reports, the goodwill among lawmakers is evaporating.
With long overnight hours, Republican anger over losing the health reform vote, and Democrats upset over procedural delays, tempers are fraying in the Senate. As Christmas approaches, Senate Leader Harry Reid asked senators to think of the season and take it down a notch.
Let's just all try to get along. That's the way we need to do it. This is a very difficult time the next day or so, and let's try to work through this.
He may have been thinking of Oklahoma Republican Tom Coburn, who during the weekend snowstorm asked people to pray that a Democratic senator would be unable to get into the Capitol to vote. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
The results weren't expected. Researchers say they found that when they asked women at moderate to high risk of getting breast cancer, roughly 4 out of 10 said they would refuse MRI screening even if it was recommended and even if there was no cost. Dr. Wendy Berg says most of the women were simply apprehensive.
The largest percentage refused because of claustrophobia. They didn't like the idea of lying in the tunnel. And that is an issue with MRI in general.
Now checking Wall Street right now, the Dow is up 46 points, NASDAQ ahead 10, and the S&P 500 up about 3. This is CBS News.
Okay, everyone wave to the camera.
Dave, is that a new camcorder?
Sure is. I got a great deal at Staples.
Oh.
I wanted to record baby Jessie's first holiday.
That's a good idea.
And I picked up a couple of toys for her, too.
A laptop and a printer.
Pretty sweet, huh?
She's 8 weeks old.
I know. Imagine going 8 weeks without a computer.
For your technology gifts this holiday, come to Staples, where savings is our gift to you. And where you can find great prices on all the best brands of computers, digital cameras, GPSs, laptops, printers, and more. Staples. That was easy.
Hurry into the Home Depot and take up to 50% off our already low prices on select holiday decorations. That means you don't have to wait until after Christmas for all those after Christmas price cuts. So come in, grab a cart or two, and start stocking up on decorations. Because with savings like this, they won't last long. That's what happens when select decorations are up to 50% off. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only while supplies last. See store for details.
I'm Jason Borgman with an AM 760 local news update. Got plans to head east for the holidays?
You better leave today. Otherwise, it doesn't look like it's going to be a very fun situation for those traveling.
That's Dave Bargenbrook with the National Weather Service. He says a major storm's moving into Colorado today, bringing the metro area anywhere from 4 to 8 inches of snow. Colorado Senator Michael Bennett says he will vote for health care reform because it is a step in the right direction. On the floor of the Senate yesterday, he vowed to make sure the plan does not balloon the deficit.
It's why I introduced an amendment that will ensure that health care will pay down the deficit by forcing Congress to make adjustments if reform doesn't meet the cost estimates we have projected.
Bennett says he's being unfairly criticized by some for not making a deal to win his vote. The final vote in the Senate is expected Thursday. And Denver's among the top cities in the U.S. where we love reading. An annual survey from the Central Connecticut State University ranks the top 10 most literate cities in America. Denver's number 10, Seattle's number 1. The rankings are based on things like numbers of bookstores, library resources, and education. And that's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News Update. I'm Jason Borgman. Now here's your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
That's where just one trouble spot as far as the highways go. We've got an accident being reported. This is eastbound I-70 near Wadsworth. The rest of the highway's excellent shape. A couple cars mixed it up on the surface streets, Colorado and Bayard. Quick check on today's forecast. Today's going to be the last day of mild temperatures for the next few. It's going to be a cloudy one with a high of about 44, 45 degrees. We'll get breezy at times. We've got a really good chance of seeing some afternoon snow coming down. It will also be falling in the overnight. By morning, we could see up to 4 inches. Currently, gray and 37 degrees. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Winter driving, it's just not normal. When there's ice and snow, take it slow. Along with slippery streets and highways, huge snow plows are often out there trying to keep the roads clear. Snow plows are large and powerful, maneuver slowly and plow far and wide, very wide. Slow down when approaching a snow plow, they're likely traveling slower than the posted speed limit. Also, don't tailgate or stop too close behind because they frequently back up, especially at intersections. A snowplow driver's view is restricted, so never assume that the driver sees you. Plows can also throw up a cloud of snow that can cause whiteout conditions and reduce visibility to zero, so use extreme caution when passing. In fact, the road behind a plow will be safer for you to drive on. If you do pass, watch out for plow blades. They're not only on the front of the plow, but a wing plow may project from the side of the truck. Best advice, ice and snow. Take it slow, especially around snowplows.
This message has been brought to you by the Colorado Department of Transportation.
906 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. We've been talking about health care. We've been talking about how you think the 2000s will be remembered. And we're going to turn now to our regular segment with Media Matters. And we've been talking about the year in review, the decade in review. And Media Matters has an announcement today about who it's naming its Misinformer of the Year. We're going to play the Media Matters Minute before we get to Eric Bullard. All right, the Media Matters Minute.
This is the Media Matters Minute. I'm Ben Fischel.
Media Matters is announcing its end-of-year awards, and it should come as no surprise that, once again, Fox News takes the prize for the most transparently partisan news network of 2009. Here's a look back at some of the political activism of Fox News personalities in 2009.
We're working on four different stories right now, one of which I think will take the administration down.
Do you want another czar? And my job starting tomorrow night is to get rid of every other one. I promise you that.
This year, Americans across the country are holding tea parties. Celebrate with Fox News. Just get out and let your face be seen.
That's why you've got to defeat them in November. That's why we formed Conservative Victory 2010. It's time now to rebuild the Republican Party on conservative principles.
Fair and balanced? Really? For these stories and more, visit MediaMatters.org.
So Fox News winning that award, and I'm reading here that the misinformer of the year is Glenn Beck. He's the number one misinformer of the year. Eric Bullard of Media Matters. How did you guys pick? I mean, this is a, I mean, you, it's a, you had a wealth, a treasure trove of choices, didn't you? I mean, how did you choose this? And in all seriousness, when you say that somebody like Glenn Beck is the misinformer of the year, does that take into account both how dishonest he is and also his reach?
Yeah, it's a combination. And honestly, it was a pretty easy choice. I mean, what Beck has done on Fox News this year is unprecedented. I mean, we've never had the kind of hateful rhetoric that he uses every night be embraced and allowed on mainstream television. So what he's done is rewritten all the rules, and of course he's got, you know, the backing of Fox News and Rupert Murdoch and Roger Ailes, and they're completely, you know, in his corner. And so, I mean, broadcast journalism and, you know, cable journalism, there was sort of a gentleman's agreement in terms of, you know, what would be put on the air, what was responsible, what was irresponsible, what was out of bounds, what was just sort of too hateful. And this year, Fox News, I mean, after Obama was inaugurated, they decided that there were no rules. And so they sort of unleashed Glenn Beck on the world, and we've never seen anything even remotely like this. I mean, he makes Bill O'Reilly, you know, he used to be, you know, sort of the flashpoint on Fox News. I mean, he makes Bill O'Reilly look like the wise old man. So this is just like, this is just sort of off the charts rhetoric, conspiracy theory, hate mongering. He really did define this year, I think, in an awful way.
Well, let's talk about Glenn Beck a little bit more. Glenn Beck has gone from somebody who's been in the media for years to somebody who is now a full-on phenomenon. I mean, Barbara Walters, not that I give her a lot of credibility, but she named him, you know, one of the ten most fascinating people on the planet.
Yeah.
How does that happen? I mean, what is responsible? It can't just be that he was on Headline News and he went to Fox. And I mean, there's got to be something more here. Is he filling some sort of void? What in your mind is going on? How did the Glenn Beck phenomenon go from Glenn Beck, just a media guy, to Glenn Beck, the phenomenon?
Yeah, right. I mean, when he was at CNN, I used to write columns about how awful his ratings were, and I couldn't believe the guy was still on the air.
Exactly.
I mean, he was just dreadful, last place, just really embarrassing numbers. And plus the show was sort of a disaster. So I think what the phenomenon was two things, and it goes back to the one I mentioned before. You know, CNN had him, he was fact-checked. He claims, they gave him such a hard time, they fact-checked everything. I don't know if they did that, but you know, there were places he could not go on CNN. There were sort of traditional guidelines and barriers. When he went to Fox News, it was there were no rules. There were no barriers. You know, he immediately went into, you know, Obama's a communist, Obama's a socialist, a fascist, things like that. So I think the phenomena stems in part from the fact that Fox News just sort of called off all the rules. They let this guy run loose on the landscape, and there was absolutely nothing he could not say, that he would say that they would disagree with. Even when he called the president a racist, said he had a deep-seated hatred from white people, the head of Fox News said, well, that was just his personal opinion, doesn't reflect Fox News. And then just a few weeks ago in an interview, Rupert Murdoch backed Glenn Beck. He said, well, Obama did make a racist comment, although Rupert Murdoch couldn't point to any. So they have unleashed him, and they have backed him, and they have made it perfectly clear that there are no rules for him. There are no barriers, no conspiracy. Any hate speech he wants to unload, they are going to back him. So I think the phenomena is fueled by Fox News because they have decided there are no rules in this new era. And B, you know, he definitely tapped into something with the Obama inauguration. I mean, I think everyone knew that after Obama was elected and inaugurated, there was going to be a segment of the conservative population that would never see him as legitimate. And in the past, those people were sort of hunched over their computers and you know, yelling at each other on bulletin boards. And lo and behold, they now have a national TV host who will stoke their fears every day. So he tapped into that sort of right-wing fever swamp, anti-Obama stuff. And then while he was doing it, Fox News said, all bets are off, do whatever you want. So I think those two things are probably the most responsible in terms of fueling his popularity.
Again, on the line with us, Eric Bollard of Media Matters. You can find his work, mediamatters.org. Media Matters has named Glenn Beck its misinformer of the year. And it's important to remember, I mean, because, you know, this idea that Glenn Beck has a big following. I mean, he definitely does have a big following. But in the modern media age, there is a difference between the old Walter Cronkite following, which was tens of millions of people, and the cable news era, when somebody like Glenn Beck can boast of a quote-unquote big following, and it's a much smaller audience. Do you think that Glenn Beck's power and influence is real over anybody who hasn't made up their mind, who doesn't already have their politics put together? I mean, is he reaching anybody who hasn't already been reached?
Oh, I don't think so. I mean, he's definitely preaching to the choir, just like I don't think Rush Limbaugh is converting people. I mean, they come to listen to Rush Limbaugh because that's what they want to hear. I mean, in terms of his influence, it's interesting. I mean, as you say, you know, he is a phenomenon. But then again, he's only, you know, he has basically 3 million viewers in a nation of 300 million. Last September, you know, they put together this anti-Obama, you know, Tea Party rally in Washington. I mean, Fox News just went all in on this thing. Media Matters noted over 100 free, you know, advertising segments where they hyped this thing. Other hosts were going to be there. I mean, it was really nonstop. They got about 60 or 70,000 people to show up. Now, during the anti-war demonstrations in 2003, 2004, there were hundreds of thousands of people who showed up, and those rallies were not co-sponsored by CNN or MSNBC or NBC News. I mean, to get grassroots activism is difficult. To get people on the bus, it's hard. They did it without any media sponsor. Fox News completely bought and paid for the sponsored, and, you know, they got an okay turnout. I mean, 60,000 people in a nation of 300 million, and you know, if you're really going all in, saying you have got to show up on this day and we're going to hype it relentlessly, to me that indicates that, you know, maybe there isn't as much there as people think there is.
And you know, how is Glenn Beck looked at in the rest of the media? I mean, because the thing is that typically in this country and in the way our media works, the people who are most powerful in the media are not just the people who have their own audience, but people who shape the coverage of the rest of the media. How powerful has Glenn Beck become in kind of invisibly shaping the rest of the media? Is he respected? Do people listen to him? Do the rest of the media react to him? Or is he considered, as he says, kind of a rodeo clown?
That's a little bit of everything. I mean, with the Van Jones story, he got some respect, and because he latched onto that early, and the White House, you know, eventually cut Van Jones loose, so he got to claim credit. You know, that's my scalp. And Fox News so rarely produces actual news that it was a big deal, and so I think he got a modicum of respect there as somehow driving the news agenda. I think the press reacts to him. But they react to him in a responsible way, and much like Rush Limbaugh and the rest of the right wing media, I think the mainstream press sort of bends over backwards not to highlight you know, the hate rhetoric that anchors his show. They play dumb about Glenn Beck all the time. I mean, Time magazine put him on the cover this summer and absolutely played dumb right up and down the line about Glenn Beck and just sort of the vicious attacks that drive his show. So the mainstream press, as it's always done, as they've done with Rush Limbaugh for years, they exalt him as being influential and powerful, but they never paint a complete portrait, and they never leave out sort of the nasty invective stuff and just sort of the nuts stuff. I mean, when Glenn Beck called Barack Obama a racist and said that the President of the United States had a deep-seated hatred of white people, the Washington Post did not report that. That was not a story. That is not something that Howard Kurtz, the media reporter, or any other political writers that week wrote about. To me, that is astonishing. That is an obvious news story. It's controversial. But the Washington Post just sort of looked away, didn't really want to get into that stuff. But they've certainly been giving Glenn Beck plenty of ink all year, just not for the nasty stuff.
Last question for you again. On the line with us, Eric Bollard of Media Matters. You can find their work, mediamatters.org. Last question for you, turning away from the right-wing media. We played a clip. We had Howard Dean on a little while ago, and we played a clip from MSNBC with John Harwood. And John Harwood, not to pick on John Harwood, but John Harwood said, liberals are taking hallucinogenic drugs if they think that that this isn't a good bill for them.
Yeah.
And I'm paraphrasing here. Are we still seeing, or is it getting worse, really? Is it getting worse, the media's treatment of progressives in the era? Has the Obama era moving forward into 2010, has it actually created a weird kind of counterintuitive situation where progressives are actually treated as even more unacceptable by the Beltway media in the era of Obama?
Right, and this is just within the same few days that Chris Matthews, you know, claims that all these people do are a bunch of complainers and all they do is bitch and moan and they've never done a thing in their lives.
Right.
Very 2002 analysis of blogging. But the Harwood thing was fascinating to me because I blogged about it this morning as well, because it was interesting that he got so angry at these liberal bloggers who were taking issue with this legislative policy, you know, calling him insane and really idiotic and things like that. I can't find an example of where John Harwood went on TV and expressed any anger at right-wing bloggers when they were calling Obama a socialist, a fascist, a Nazi, a communist.
So what is that all about?
That stuff didn't bother him.
Right, so what's going on there?
Liberal bloggers made specific policy critiques. You know, John Harwood could barely see straight.
Right. So why is that? I mean, why? And you see this more and more. And for those just tuning in, Eric's referring to the Chris Matthews thing. Chris Matthews just went off on a screed saying that progressives who were criticizing some policies of Obama from the progressive left are just whiners and complainers. Why does the progressive movement seem to irritate the establishment media far more than the extreme right-wing?
Right.
Of the Republican Party, the racists and the Tea Partiers.
Right. The right wing hate movement doesn't bother them. The left wing policy wonks drive them crazy.
Yeah, so why?
I mean, it's because liberals aren't. You know, we've talked about this before. You know, they're just not taken seriously. These people are living in la la land if they think single payer or public option is something this country wants or needs. It's just not taken seriously, and I don't have the definitive answer why, but it's amazing how it just gets under their skin, to critique a president on a strictly policy basis from the left is just deemed to be cuckoo. And I think they see it because, you know, these are Democratic senators, and they had a hard enough time getting the 60 votes. And my gosh, what do these people want? Don't they understand how hard a job Harry Reid is? Don't they know how hard Senator Baucus worked on this? So this idea that, you know, Democratic senators are doing what's right, I think the idea to the elite pundits that people on the left would actually question them is just sort of beyond the pale. And it's sort of comical to watch because, as we've said, you know, the right-wing bloggers have been, you know, feeding off this fever swamp all year. That doesn't bother anyone. Nobody calls out that.
That's
stuff.
Right. That's right.
If you critique, if you take a Howard Dean critique from the left, you're bonkers.
That's right. And I got to say, my theory for you, here's an idea for a Media Matters project. My theory is that it is that you hear that disproportionately from reporters and pundits who lived through the 60s. That when they hear progressive criticism in their own twisted mind, they see the most liberal excesses, if you will. They see Woodstock, right?
Yeah.
That's what they see. And an interesting idea would be, I don't know if it's possible to quantify, but to look at whether this level of media vitriol against progressives comes disproportionately from older reporters. Of course, the younger reporters, of course, have learned at the knee of these older reporters, so maybe there is no now generational thing. But I always get the sense that John Harwood sees somebody like John Harwood, who is
Chris
a decent
Matthews,
guy.
Yep.
Yeah, you know, Chris Matthews, he sees a progressive criticizing Obama, and he sees the Weathermen, right?
Yeah.
Or he sees Woodstock. And I just think it's like, it's so generational. Eric Bollard of Media Matters, you can find his work at mediamatters.org. Eric, always great to talk. Thanks so much for taking the time this morning.
Talk to you soon.
Okay, 923 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. After the break, our news of the weird. I know you've been waiting for it. The news of the weird. Is your pet, is your dog a major environmental polluter? Does it have a big carbon footprint? That's what one new study says. We'll give you that and more in our News of the Weird segment. And then also, we're going to talk to the one Democratic U.S. senator who voted against, who had the guts to stand up and vote against the renomination of Ben Bernanke. All that after a traffic update with John Turk.
Thank you, Dave. Two-car crash, Colorado and Bayard. That's right around Cherry Creek Mall. Also got a crash on eastbound I-70 at Wadsworth in Wheat Ridge. That looks like it should be out of your way here real shortly if it isn't right now. Rest of the drive, pretty good for us. This week has been real light as far as volume's concerned. A lot of folks already on their holiday vacation, but that means a lot of people out at DIA, Pikes Peak Shuttle Lot, is full for you. Rest of the lot still have some spaces for your cars. Security wait time, just about 10 minutes. Forecast, cloudy and cool, a high of 43. Evening snow after 7 o'clock. Small accumulation, though, in the overnight. Anywhere from 2 to 8 inches, though, as this storm wraps up Wednesday evening, maybe possibly early Thursday. Right now, it's 38 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Hey there, cool jacket.
Oh, thanks. My wife got it for me at REI. Perfect gift for days like this.
No kidding. Crisp winter air, lots of fresh snow, the sun is shining. Does it get any better than this?
Let's think about that for a minute. Yeah,
no,
this is pretty much best thing ever.
Yeah.
Just how great can the great outdoors be? Find out. Guarantee your holiday happiness by giving great gifts from REI. Hurry into your local REI store or shop REI.com. REI, find out.
Winter driving can be a real challenge. If there's ice and snow, take it slow. Even if you have an SUV with four-wheel drive, it doesn't mean you'll be able to stop any faster or maintain control any better once you lose traction. Four-wheel drive may get you going faster, but it won't help you stop any sooner. No matter what type of vehicle you're driving, accelerate gradually and avoid abrupt steering maneuvers that could cause you to slide. Allow extra distance between you and the vehicle ahead. It takes more time and distance to stop in adverse conditions, so when you need to slow down or stop, if you have anti-lock brakes, depress the pedal and let the brakes do the work. Don't pump them yourself. If roads are slippery, turn off the cruise. Keep your own feel for the road. And before you leave, check road conditions. Safe drivers know the weather and they know their limits. If the weather's bad, stay where you are until conditions improve.
This message has been brought to you by the Colorado Department of Transportation.
Your free trial of hydroxytone at 1-800-200-3691. Supplies are extremely limited, so please hurry. 1-800-200-3691.
Music. It's time for News of the Weird. First News of the Weird. This is from Paris, France. Man's best friend could be one of the environment's worst enemies, according to a new study, which says the carbon paw print, the carbon paw print of a pet dog is more than double that of a gas-guzzling sport utility vehicle. That's crazy. I don't want to hear this. This makes me sad. The revelation in the book Time to Eat the Dog, The Real Guide to Sustainable Living by New Zealanders Robert and Brenda Vale has angered pet owners who feel they're being singled out as troublemakers. The Vales specialist in sustainable living at Victoria University of Wellington, analyzed popular brands of pet food and calculated that a medium-sized dog eats around 360 pounds of meat and 95 kilos of cereal a year. Combined, the land required to generate its food and a medium-sized dog has an annual carbon footprint of 0.84 hectares, which is 2 acres, around twice the 0.41 hectares required by driving a 4x4, 10,000 kilometers or 6,200 miles a year. So, boy, your dog may be polluting more than your SUV. First Jesus-era house discovered in Nazareth. This is from Nazareth, Israel. Associated Press report, just in time for Christmas, archaeologists on Monday unveiled what may have been the home of one of Jesus' childhood neighbors. The humble dwelling is the first dating to the era of Jesus to be discovered in Nazareth, then a hamlet of around 50 impoverished Jewish families where Jesus spent his boyhood. Boston mom calls 911 over son's video game habit. Police say a frustrated Boston woman called 911 to say she couldn't get her 14-year-old son to stop playing video games and go to sleep. Police spokesman Officer Joe Zanoli said Monday the mother called for help at around 2:30 in the morning Saturday to say the teenager also walked around the house and turned on all the lights. Two officers responding to the house persuaded the child to obey his mother.
That's becoming more and more frequent, Dave. I've been there, done that.
I know.
Been there, done that.
I know you've been there.
I told you it was for Tyson. Are you listening, buddy, out there? Driving to daycare?
Tyson, you don't want them to call the police on you.
Yeah, Santa's watching, Tyson. We love you, buddy.
I know he is. We do love you, Tyson. Fake 911 call suspect was a volunteer firefighter. This is from Greeley, Colorado. Court records say a woman suspected of using a prepaid mobile phone to make up to 48 false calls for help to 911 was a volunteer firefighter. The woman, 44, was a volunteer firefighter in Hudson, according to court records released Monday. Why would you make fake calls to 911, really, with a calling card? A billboard sponsored by a local church in Wellington, New Zealand, that shows Joseph and Mary in bed has set tongues wagging in New Zealand, says Reuters, with the Catholic Church condemning it and others finding it funny. The controversial billboard erected by St. Matthew's in the City Church in Auckland shows a dejected-looking Joseph under bed covers beside a sad Mary. Underneath the image, the caption reads, "Poor Joseph, God is a hard act to follow." Already read to you about the polluting pets. Chimps master first step in controlling fire. Chimps remain cool under fire, possessing a near-human ability to predict how wildfires spread and react accordingly. This newfound capability of chimpanzees to understand flames might shed a light on when and how our distant ancestors first learned to control fire, scientists now say. This is from Live Science.
It's all about the thumb, Dave.
It's all about the thumb, man, the opposable thumb.
Yep.
Drivers who text are 6 times more likely to crash. People who send text messages while driving 6 times more likely to get into an accident, says a new study. The research adds to a mountain of evidence showing that texting or talking on mobile phones while driving is dangerous. Texting actually seems to be the worst.
Have they even handed out a ticket in the city yet for that?
Not
remember
yet.
Like last week they reported that they hadn't given one ticket out?
Not one ticket.
In
That's
2 months?
Right. That's right.
Yeah.
Not a single one.
Or in 2 weeks of, I guess, the new
one. Probably hard to catch, you know?
It probably is.
It's probably hard to catch.
Hey, I've seen cops texting out there, too, though, Dave.
I know.
But they are parking the side
I wouldn't
of the road.
Doubt it.
Yeah.
Monkey species. African leaf-eating primates will likely be wiped out by climate change. This is on Science Daily. Monkey species will become increasingly at risk of extinction because of global warming, according to new research published this week. It reveals that populations of monkeys and apes in Africa that depend largely on a diet of leaves may be wiped out by a rise in annual temperatures of 2 degrees Celsius. That is your news of the weird. 9:31 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. We got time for a couple calls here before. Well, actually, we don't have time for a couple calls. All right, Turk has given me the signal.
What are you thinking?
I know, my bad.
We almost, got a break for
almost
Senator
got
Markley, one of our heroes from last week.
That's right, one of our heroes from last week. If you're holding, hang on. We'll get to your calls after we talk to the one Democratic senator who voted against Ben Bernanke in the Banking Committee. Stick around for that. It's Senator Jeff Markley after a traffic update with John Turk.
Thank you, Dave. Traffic back in shape around the city. Just a slow spot southbound I-25 there heading into downtown. Your forecast today, mostly cloudy, cooler, highs and low 40s. Snow after 7 p.m. with 1 to 3 inches in the overnight, 4 to 8 inches on Wednesday. Our current downtown temperature, 38 degrees. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
The best and most affordable way to ski Summit County this season is Arapahoe Basin's Bonus Pass. For just $359, you get unlimited skiing at A Basin, plus 5 days at Keystone or Breckenridge. For more information, call 1-888-ARAPAHOE or check out arapahoebasin.com.
Want to add value to your home, lower your energy bills, and help preserve the environment? Best Way Insulation is a Colorado-owned company that can make sure your home is warmer in the winter and cooler in the summer. Purchasing insulation from Best Way can also qualify you for a federal tax credit and rebates from your energy company. For more information, go to bestwayinsulation.com or visit am760.net and enter the keyword insulation. Again, that's bestwayinsulation.com or am760.net, keyword insulation.
Driving in winter requires preparation because you never know when you may find yourself stranded. Before the first snows begin to fall, check your vehicle's tires, brakes, fluids, wiper blades, lights, belts, and hoses to make sure they're in good shape. A breakdown is bad on a good day, dangerous in a snowstorm. Before venturing out onto snowy roadways, make sure you've cleared the snow from all the vehicle's windows and lights, including brake lights and turn signals. Make sure you can see and be seen. And prepare an emergency kit, including things like a blanket, sand or cat litter for extra traction, additional warm caps and gloves, some food and water, and a cell phone. Before you go, check out road and weather conditions to help plan your route and departure time, giving yourself plenty of extra time to get where you're going. Above all, know your limits. If the weather's bad, stay home.
This message has been brought to you by the Colorado Department of Transportation.
Is not available in stores, so call immediately to see if you're one of the first 100 callers and try it before you buy it. Phone lines are open now. Call 1-800-600-2125 for your free trial. 1-800-600-2125.
Thanks for calling Sears Automotive Center.
Can you fix my car?
Well, at Sears, our ASE-certified Blue Automotive Crew mechanics know cars inside and out. We'll find the problem and give you the best price, guaranteed.
Brakes.
Yes.
Tires.
Yep.
Struts.
Of course.
Oil changes.
Totally.
Helsinki smash rod.
You just made that word up, sir.
You're good.
Come into the Sears Automotive Center for our real-time price checks and get the best price guaranteed. Through January 2nd, all Michelin tires are on sale. Plus, receive $70 cash back by mail with a purchase of 4 Michelin tires. We also have tires starting as low as $29.98. Visit SearsAuto.com to learn more. Sears. Life well spent.
Need advice about simple home repairs? The Fix It Up with Steve and Matina show gives tips on money-saving home repair, buying, and selling a home, and provides a forum for homeowner questions. Tune in Saturday mornings at 10 on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Do you want to create more power and greatness for your life and career? Are you ready to transform your way of thinking and explore the mysteries of your mind? Then catch the Inevitable Radio Show Saturdays at 8 a.m. right here on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
9:35 here on AM 760, Progressive Talk. On the line with us now, somebody who was nominated one of the show's Heroes of the Week last week, Oregon Senator Jeff Merkley. He was one of the, he was the only Democrat in the Senate Banking Committee to vote against Ben Bernanke's renomination. Senator Merkley, thanks so much for taking the time this morning.
You bet. It's great to be with you.
Yeah, it's good to talk to you. Now, tell us why you voted against Ben Bernanke, and then I'll put you on the spot and ask you why more of your Democratic colleagues, in your mind, didn't vote against him as well. Because a lot of your Democratic colleagues acknowledged many of the same criticisms that you made. I just don't understand why you were the one to vote against him and more of your colleagues weren't with you.
Well, for me, it came down to the fact that he was sitting at the table, both as chair of the Fed and earlier as a member of the board, and earlier also as chair of the Council of Economic Advisors, through all of the major mistakes that set the our economic house on fire, through the explosion of derivatives, the huge expansion in proprietary trading, the complete change in retail mortgage practices where brokers started to take kickbacks from lenders to steer people into subprime mortgages, exploding interest rate mortgages, the lifting of the leverage requirements on the five biggest investment banks, and so on and so forth. So he was there and never saw any of this. Now, I mean, part of the thing that puzzles me is how is it that an expert on the Great Depression, who has studied all the things that led up to the collapse of that economic house of cards, wasn't able to see or identify the house of cards that we were building over the last 10 years. And so it came down to this. He's done a pretty good job on monetary policy, and I thought he was adept or adroit with the fire hose. But I want to look beyond putting out the immediate fire to rebuilding our economic house and doing so with a view to the financial success of working families. And that's why I voted against him.
Do you think he will be confirmed on the floor of the Senate when this vote happens in January?
Well, he's sure coming out of the Banking Committee with a strong recommendation in terms of the 2-to-1 vote that we had in there. So it looks like he's in a strong position to win confirmation on the floor. I'm hoping more folks will pay attention. For example, there was an article in the Washington Post, front page article, yesterday, Fed's approach to regulation left banks exposed to crisis. And just reading this article, you'd go, my goodness, Bernanke was in the middle of a series of decisions that were mistakes. Why is he the person we want leading us forward as head of the Fed?
Do you think it sends a message, and I had written a column about this, because I'm worried about it, but I wonder if you see it this way. Is there a danger that if he is confirmed, that it will say to every other regulator in the government, hey, you don't really have to worry about your job if you fall down on the job?
Well, certainly that's a piece of the message. If you can be involved in so many mistakes and then easily win confirmation, it makes you wonder what would be a grounds for being fired.
That's exactly right. And I had a discussion here on this show with Congressman Ed Perlmutter, and he was going back and forth, and I said that to him. He said, well, yeah, you know, that makes a whole lot of sense. Let's turn to jobs and the economy. I mean, tell us in your mind, I mean, we're talking a lot about health care. What needs to happen? What does Congress need to do to really get the economy going? I mean, you're a freshman senator. You're from a state that has been hit very hard by the recession. In the next year, Congress is going to be talking, or at least we hear that Congress is going to be talking a lot about jobs. What does that mean in a concrete legislative way?
Well, let me mention a couple things to you that may not be what you'd immediately think of, but one is foreclosures. As long as those are still dragging us down and the construction industry is dragging us down, it's going to be a big challenge. And so we need to be much more serious about addressing foreclosures than we have been under the HAMP program. And I'm so frustrated by that. I won't elaborate at the moment, just to say when you realize the billions that went to Wall Street, the billions that went to the car industry, and yet we've spent only a trickle of funds on HAMP to date, even though $50 billion was authorized and sent that direction. And so that's a piece of it, and that's related to the construction industry, a big part of our economy. A second is we've got to put our small banks back into action to be able to recapitalize them, enable them to make loans to small businesses. Those banks, many of them never bought a security that was based on liar loans and so forth. They simply have been caught as lenders in a difficult economic downturn, and they are critical. A third is we've got to address the commercial lending, which is a big challenge and may further drag down our economy. So these are indirect, but let me go to the direct side. Directly on the jobs, we need to put people to work on energy retrofits. That's a huge opportunity to put a large number of people to work. That not only decreases our dependence on foreign oil, but it's a gift that keeps on giving in terms of lower energy bills, and it puts a lot of Americans to work. So that is a piece I'm advocating for. In terms of Oregon, we absolutely need to think in terms of the fact that we've got millions of acres of forest that needs to be thinned. It's a huge problem with diseased forests and forests ready to burn down, and that could put a lot of people to work, and then there's a whole list of these related types of efforts. But then I'll put in one more point. On the long term, we have to rethink our trade policy that makes it difficult to manufacture anything in this country, because if we're not building things in this country, we're not going to have a middle class in this country.
Again, on the line with us, Democratic Senator Jeff Merkley from Oregon. He was the one Democratic senator to vote against Ben Bernanke's nomination in the Banking Committee. He was nominated by a couple of you for Hero of the Week last week on this show. Let's turn to health care because it's what everybody's talking about. We've been discussing on this show whether Howard Dean and progressives are adding in a productive way to the healthcare debate by saying that the Senate bill is not enough. I assume that you are going to vote for the bill. What do you say to that? Are the people who are saying that the Senate bill is not good enough, in your mind, you're somebody who's in the Senate, are they playing a constructive or a destructive role?
Well, their comments certainly reflect how I feel. And I guess, I feel like I'm in mourning right now. Because I felt that we had every reason to believe that we could strike a reasonable compromise on the public option that would enable states to push forward, really open that door. When you realize that we still have an antitrust exemption for the healthcare industry, and that in combination with the fact a lot of markets only have one or two major providers, that is a huge factor in breaking the competitive market in America. So you have Democrats who are talking about that, you have Republicans who are talking about that, and yet we didn't end up taking away the antitrust exemption, we didn't end up creating competitiveness, and the best thing we had to do that was a public option, that is, someone outside the existing oligopoly, I'm mispronouncing it, but...
oligopoly.
Thank you.
There you go.
That is dedicated to healing. And we've seen in Oregon where a public option on workers' comp has rates today that are half the price of what we had 20 years ago. Rhode Island copied Oregon's approach, and Rhode Island has rates that are 50% what they were before they adopted their workers' comp public option. Having a competitor would make a huge difference. And so that is a big challenge. Now, there are opportunities that are still left here. One is to give the state exchanges strong power to negotiate with the companies as to what plans get onto the exchange. That could be very helpful. A second is there's nothing that blocks in this bill the ability of a state to create their own public option and put it on the exchange. So these don't make up for what we lost, but there are windows of opportunity here that might make a difference.
So you've laid that all out. Then I've got to ask two follow-up questions, which is this. I mean, one, why are you voting for this bill? And then two, why did this happen the way it happened? I mean, you've laid out, you know, what is wrong with the bill, what was watered down from it. Tell us from somebody who watched it unfold right there.
Yes.
What went wrong?
Well, I'm voting for the bill because 30 million people will gain health care through this bill. We may not have that window of opportunity for another 20 years. Second of all, we're creating a large number of insurance reforms, such as no longer ability to discriminate based on pre-existing conditions or upon a host of other factors, no more ability to dump people off their plans. You've paid premiums for 10 years, and then you get sick and you get dumped off your plan. There's a lot of reforms that are going to help a lot of people. In addition, I feel like access to the exchange and the possibility of state public options means that we might still salvage some competitive, healing-oriented strategies. I'm not positive of it, but there's an opportunity there that may unfold. So those are the big factors. We're at a point here with the 60. If this is the best we can get done with 60, and unfortunately it looks like it is, think of how hard it will be if we only have 56 Democratic senators. I mean, this is a big improvement of our current healthcare broken system. That's why I'm going to support it. But then I'm going to keep fighting to try to make use of these other opportunities regarding access to the exchange and state public options and states being able to band with other states to create regional public options.
Do you think the president didn't weigh in more strongly or strong enough for a public option? Do you think Harry Reid was wrong to take reconciliation off the table? I mean, these are the things that progressives are wondering when they look at the evolution of this bill.
Well, I would have appreciated seeing the president campaign harder on public option. I didn't see a strong push there. That's disappointing. Especially with the fact that we put some compromises on the table, such as the opt-in, opt-out structure, creating a federalist structure. That's very appealing to conservatives. No state had to participate that decided it didn't want to. That should have been enough to bridge the 60 members, and it wasn't. So that's a disappointment. And then you asked a second question.
Yeah, about reconciliation.
Reconciliation is really tough to utilize because every bit of it has to deal with closing the budget gap, increasing revenues, decreasing expenditures, and so no policy structures can go into that. And, you know, I just finished reading through the manager's amendment and previously through the bill. I mean, you lose so much in reconciliation,
and that's absolutely true. I mean, I guess I wonder at a general level. Again, on the line with us, Senator Jeff Merkley from Oregon, the one Democrat in the banking committee to vote against Ben Bernanke's renomination. He was nominated by many of you last week as Hero of the Week. Last question for you. I mean, what do you say to people who say, look, George Bush was able to pass a huge number of policies, controversial policies, through a Senate that had, 55, 56 Republican votes. He used reconciliation for the tax cuts. What do you say to progressives who look at, not just progressive citizens, who look at President Obama, who's got nominally 60 votes in the Senate, got the whole House, and they say, why hasn't the president done more on an issue, or the Democrats done more on an issue like health care compared to what George Bush was able to do on Republican priorities?
Well, I think there's two parts of this. The first is, after passing this policy framework that we have, there's nothing that prevents us from coming back and trying to utilize reconciliation next time round to add to it. So while it would have been several of us made efforts to understand what could be done with reconciliation, and I won't say we got our hands completely around it, but it was pretty gloomy assessment of what could be done. But now we're getting this big framework in place. We may be able to come back next year and fill in some of the pieces through reconciliation. So there's a possibility there. George Bush was able to do more with tax measures because those are perfectly suited for reconciliation. They didn't involve every piece of a tax qualifies, if you will. So it wasn't a complex policy issue that reconciliation would turn into Swiss cheese. But also, Democrats are instinctually supportive of a sound dialogue and aren't as ready to throw bricks into the gears of the Senate to prevent deliberation. I think we're wired to believe that dialogue and voting should take place, whereas the Republicans are coming here and running against government and saying anything we can do to break down the process and paralyze it is justified. And so I think that does give them a bit more advantage in terms of that strategy.
I do definitely agree with that. It's almost they're playing asymmetrical warfare or asymmetrical legislative warfare. That's absolutely true. Senator Jeff Merkley from Oregon, thank you so much for taking the time this morning. And really, I just want to thank you myself and on behalf of listeners for having the guts to stand up last week and saying no to Ben Bernanke and having the guts to really be a straight shooter on a lot of these issues. I really, really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, David.
All right, talk to you soon. All right, thanks. 9:51 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. After the break, we'll take a few more of your calls. I'll read some of your emails on any issue that we've discussed today. Healthcare, is Howard Dean playing a positive role, a negative role? Is President Obama doing enough on healthcare? You just heard Senator Merkley say he was very disappointed that the president did not show more leadership on the public option. What do you think about that? We'll take your calls after a traffic update with John Turk.
Dave, looks like we got a structure fire westbound 8th Avenue right around Colorado Boulevard. That's slowing people down. Also a crash near the tech center, Hamden at Tamarack Drive. 65. That's on the eastbound side. Freeway traffic looking pretty good for us now. A little slow eastbound I-70 from Kipling to Wadsworth. That's where we had an earlier accident. Also had a two-car crash at Colorado near First Avenue. Forecast today, cloudy and cool, a high of 43. Evening snow after 7 p.m. Small accumulation, though, in the overnight. But tomorrow morning and tomorrow afternoon, we're expecting about 2 to 8 inches when the storm is all said and done. Right now, 39 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Last-minute gift shopping doesn't get any easier than picking up gift cards at Safeway. There are over 300 to choose from, all your favorite stores. There's one for everyone on your list. Safeway, ingredients for life.
If you like listening to music on your computer, listen to this. Now you can hear all your iTunes playlists, internet radio stations, sports, and more in a different room with the new Bose Wave Music System SoundLink. No need to run wires. A small USB plug-in sends audio wirelessly from your computer to the system. This compact system plays CDs and AM/FM radio too, and it sounds much bigger than its size. The Wave Music System now plays music from your computer wirelessly. Check it out. It's only from Bose.
To lose weight? Well, if you say yes to the following, you will qualify for a free weight loss trial. Please listen carefully. Are you trying to lose more than 20 pounds? Are you 18 or over? Have you given up on dieting? If you said yes to all of the above, congratulations. You qualify for a free weight loss trial. To experience the 14-day slim down, call within the next 24 hours and claim your free two-week supply. The number is 1-800-600-0807. Please note that if you are currently dieting on your own, with a popular weight loss program, or with special prepared foods, you are not eligible for this free program. Again, if you are trying to lose over 20 pounds, are 18 or over, and are currently not using any other diet program, you are eligible to participate in the free weight loss trial. Results are guaranteed. If you don't see results, you don't pay for the trial. To experience the 14-day slim down for free, call 1-800-600-0807. You must call within the next 24 hours. 1-800-600-0807.
Right now, your Honda dealer encourages you to get out there and enjoy some great holiday traditions. For example, the annual fruitcake tossing contest here in Manitou Springs, Colorado. Oh, and here's last year's runner-up. Excuse me, can you describe the scene out here?
Oh, yeah. It's a lot of flying fruitcake. You've got people testing their baked goods engineering.
Engineering?
Well, yeah. Some people like to front-load with their heavier stuff, like your nuts and your candy cherries, and keep the back end lighter. Myself, I like a few raisins back there for balance. Okay. I'm looking to go 400 feet this year.
Wow. Okay. And what kind of equipment do you launch with?
Well, I'm debating between this crossbow and this 12-foot-tall medieval catapult I built.
Wow.
What? That's going to leave a mark. Yeah. Those front-loaded fruitcakes, smart.
Yes, they do. Everyone has their favorite holiday tradition. For your Honda dealer, it's Happy Honda Days, when Honda dealers give some of the best deals of the year on lots of Honda models. So see your Honda dealer now during Happy Honda Days.
Recently, New Vitality Health Products gave away 500 free bottles of the supplement Beta Prostate to listeners of this station. Due to incredible demand, they're giving away more free bottles of Beta Prostate to any new customers who call now. Remember, your prostate affects urine flow, sleeping habits, and quality of life. You can call right now for one free bottle of Beta Prostate. You only pay shipping and handling. Call 1-800-394-6545. 1-800-394-6545. That's 1-800-394-6545.
Here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. We're just going to open up the phones now. Talk about anything you want to talk about that we've been discussing today. 303-713-7600. We'll go to Rob in Lakewood. Rob, you're on AM 760.
What's happening? Good morning.
Hey, man.
I used to listen back when Al Franken was on, and they would do the little my soda.
That's right. We got it at the top of this one now.
Really?
Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, hey man, I'm just really glad to see you, especially under the bad circumstances. But I'm glad to see that you're taking the reins there. And I was listening to your sister station, and I was just a little surprised because they seem to think progressives are even further to the left than liberals now. They're so scared that they're just, it just never ceases to amaze me what kind of stuff. For lack of a better word to say, that they just keep spewing out there.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, when you listen across the radio dial, I mean, you are listening to, or you're getting a glimpse of a different world, really. A world that doesn't that doesn't really exist. I mean, there's certainly parts of the world that exist, but the view of the world you get is a hateful, extreme, way out of the mainstream right wing. Yeah, well, absolutely. And the thing that I think a lot of right wingers forget is that, look, you can criticize me and call me progressive, a liberal, whatever you want to call me. But for the most part, the things that we progressives are advocating for, universal health care, crackdown on the insurance industry, financial reform, fairer trade policies, higher wages, these things are centrist mainstream positions.
Exactly.
Based on polls. Meaning they're not, I'm not saying that they're centrist or mainstream. I'm like, you can look at the data of where the center of American public opinion is, and we are overwhelmingly aggressively advocating for the mainstream. They are way out on the fringe. Hey, Rob, I got to get one more call. Thanks for your call, man. I really appreciate
it. Happy holidays.
All right, you too, man. Adam in Weld County. You got about 30 seconds. Adam, you're the last caller of the day.
How's it going, buddy?
All right, man.
Hey, what about, maybe tomorrow you can talk about it, but what about these senators essentially, you know, extorting the American taxpayer, like the guy in Nebraska, Louisiana,
yeah.
Florida?
Yeah, for their health votes. I got really quickly on that. I'll just try to articulate it for you. The first thing is that I don't think there's anything wrong with senators trying to advocate for their states. But in a larger sense, you're right. There's something wrong with it, especially when President Obama campaigned to say that the healthcare debate would be the most transparent in history. That clearly has not happened. We'll talk more about it tomorrow, I promise. We'll get back to healthcare then.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit matrixdirect.com.
Do you think you're getting your money's worth for your life insurance policy? Because if you're 40 and married and are paying more than $14 a month, chances are you're paying too much. Hi, I'm Brent Langdon for Matrix Direct. We partnered with American General Life to find you their lowest rates on term life insurance products. And if you're 40 years old and married, we could find you a $250,000 policy for less than $14 a month, which means you could save hundreds of dollars a year. Call us now for a free no-obligation quote. Call 1-800-500-2609. Since 1995, Matrix Direct has helped over 1 million people save money on their term life insurance. Don't you want to know how much we could save you? It only takes 5 minutes, and you could save up to 75%, and the call is absolutely free. Call Matrix Direct, 1-800-500-2609. That's 1-800-500-2609. 1-800-500-2609.
Mario Solis Marriage.
Today on the Mario Solis Marriage Show, Ford offers a buyout to every single one of its hourly workers. We'll take your calls. Y mucho más.
Today at 4 on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. Turn to the left with AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. KKZN 14.